Let's see, we're recording as Kevin gets his beverages ready for tonight's trip to the wrestling hotline. I have no idea what I'm talking about with Mr. Hammerstone. Wait a minute. Okay, now we're live on the butt. The butt is live.
That.
There you go. Now your microphone's on.
Oh, I'm sorry. That butt be all that.
All that and then a bag of chips or whatever the kids say these days.
No, I think that's accurate.
All right.
I think kids still say that.
Well, I take your word for it. I have no idea.
No, they don't. I'm telling you right now, they don't.
Look, you could lie to me and tell me 100 different things they say and I'll still believe you.
You could lie to me and tell me.
Was that like a promo?
I thought it was a song. Don't lie to me. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Can we just do an intro?
And get this you're on? Doing that.
You want me to do the intro?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Kev, did you know it's Gay Pride Month?
What?
Well, WWE doesn't celebrate it. You know why I know? Because they took no pride in anything they fucking put on my television last night. But hey, guys, Alexander Hammerstone. Hammerstone?
Hammerstone.
Hammerstone! Alexander Hammerstone, you're a brand new...
No, Hammerstone, you idiot.
Hammer dicks?
You said Hammerstone again.
I said Hammerstone?
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Hammerstone.
Okay, and what title did he win?
The National Openweight Championship. First ever MLW National Openweight Champion. Alexander Hammerstone joins us live. Hey, dicks! It's the Shining Wizards!
Thank you. The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rant EM Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hey, I got this mark coming up to me when I'm trying to leave this place. I've made God knows how much money off of these fat losers on merch money, on my fee. And right now you are listening to just another reason why I get paid as this guy hands me a 50. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you and you know it. And you are listening to the Shining Wizards podcast, unfortunately.
I have a small dick.
God damn.
What's up, all you juggalos and juggalettes?
What?
It's the two-man group joining you on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Now, I mentioned juggalos and juggalettes because you saw the videos of that freak that throws himself off of his front steps on top of things, right?
Yeah, my buddy Rich tagged me in one of those videos today.
Yes.
Saying that I'm not a wrestling fan unless I throw myself on top of a microwave. Fucking bullshit is that?
That guy cracks me up, though. He throws himself into everything and anything.
Because I'm not a wrestling fan. I am a sports entertainment enthusiast.
And that's what we learned here.
I just realized that this entire day my socks have been on inside out. So that is...
Are they more comfortable inside out?
You would think so. But they're...
The reason I ask is because usually you get that stitching that has to go across your toes the right way. Otherwise, it annoys the fuck out of you all day and all night.
I feel very awkward. I'm not going to be able to go through the show looking at my socks inside out.
Please don't fucking do a ride back to us.
What's that?
Stick with the show. Don't fucking get all the...
No, definitely not. It's just going to bother me the entire time.
As we said at the opening, you're listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Talk.
Talk about wrestling.
And of course, we will be joined by Matt in a little bit. But for now, you've got the dulcet tones of the two-man group.
And of course, later on in the 8 o'clock hour, 8:30 to be exact.
Who is it?
We will be joined by the brand new first ever Major League Wrestling National Openweight Champion, one-third of the Dynasty, along with Richard Holiday and Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Don't plug those guys.
Alexander Hammerstone.
Oh, you had to think about
it. I did now because you're fucking up my mojo, man, with your Hammerstone.
Well, you gave me the intro this week and I kind of was all over the place.
It's not Alexander Cameltoe. It's Alexander.
Ooh, now that's a gimmick.
Alexander Cameltoe?
That would be a great fucking gimmick. Just comes out gyrating and his big two old meat flaps hanging out the sides of his trunks.
All right, glad I brought that up.
Meat flaps are always a great topic of conversation here at the Shining Wizards. Of course, you're listening to us live on the Rant, rantemradio.com. You may be hearing us in podcast form. We thank you for the downloads and the streams.
Streams.
And the rivers and the gullies and the valleys and whatever else.
Well, all right, where are you going with this?
I have no idea. It's just a peaceful kind of night.
How was your weekend, Tony? What's going on with you, man?
What else? What happened to me this weekend? Nothing really. Oh, I went to a dance recital for my niece, and it was 3 hours long. I do not recommend a 3 hour long dance recital for any reason.
I don't recommend a 3 hour tour either on a boat.
It was pretty, it was long. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, come on. You no sold that?
What?
The 3 hour tour?
Yeah, I'm selling. I'm just keep moving on.
That was fucking gold. If that was a Facebook post, that would be forgotten gold.
It would be forgotten, definitely.
That's right.
How about your weekend? Anything exciting? Anything new? Any wrestlings in your weekends?
No. I mean, obviously, other than watching it on the old, network and the MLW and the what's its and the who's its and the NXT takeovers, which we will get to when Matt arrives. But I did have a nice little discovery in my world of action figures.
Ooh, action figure story. I like this.
So, I'm going through like my childhood ones and comparing them to the ones I picked up in that big lot that me and Matt
scored. Heist of 2019.
The heist of 20. That should be a T-shirt. But I just noticed that my childhood Bret Hart, I'm comparing to the new Bret Hart that I got. I'm like, this Hart on Bret's, singlet is a little darker.
Oh no, what'd you do?
No, it's okay. I'm thinking, is this a faded pink Hart or do I have a purple Hart Bret Hart?
A faded pink Hart.
That's right.
A fucking t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt. So
which one is the fake?
No, they're both real, but they were just different series, and one is rarer than the other. The purple heart is the rare one, and well, I had it this entire time. I had this for 20-something years, and I just realized. I went on one of the Facebook groups, and I'm like, hey, guys, thoughts? Is this a faded pink heart, or is this a Bret Hart purple heart? And the guys told me, if the numbers on the back are this, such and such this, then you have a purple heart Bret. If not, it's just a faded pink, and it turns out the numbers matched what a purple heart Bret would be. So I'm the proud owner, even though I've always been the proud owner, of a purple heart Bret Hart Hasbro figure, which is almost double what you would pay for a regular pink heart Bret Hart.
So it's like $6.
Yeah, basically.
No, really, is it worth anything exciting?
Yeah, it's it's definitely up in the close to three figure range, no pun intended. So
wait, three figures
meaning. Like, almost like it's like $100 if it's in, it's like fresh, brand new.
Can I just
new.
Tell you I hate cats as an aside?
Was there a cat behind me?
I'm staring. The one little pane out the back window of the hatch.
Maybe that's one of our Patreon followers.
trying to
get a live look into the pocket. I got to turn around.
Oh, you missed it. He just jumped onto that green, the green shed behind the fence. He was on that little pillar there.
All right.
Dove off. Oh, can I tell you this much?
Oh, lay it on me, Big Daddy.
Something exciting I've been finding in my yard. I found a dead mouse and two dead birds.
So you think that you have, maybe that, you think that guy may
that's
have,
that's gotta be him.
Mm.
That little tubby bastard's always sleeping in my bushes out front. I feel like
sleeping
fucking,
in your bush?
Who was Dennis the Menace's neighbor, Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Wilson!
I feel like get off my lawn every time I see that little
fucker. Why? What do you have
there?
Against cats?
I hate them. They're leaving me dead goodies in the yard.
Their way of showing respect.
Respect?
That's right.
That's a fucking dog shit way of showing respect.
That they're giving you gifts. They're bringing presents to your yard.
Yeah, Ratatouille's face was completely off his body. That's some gift.
Well, maybe they'll bring his milkshake to the yard next.
Ugh.
Because,
fucking fat, gross
milkshake
cats. I fucking
brings all the
them.
Mice, the dead mice to the yard.
So I thought, well, it seems like we do have a lot to cover. I mean,
we
have our picks to go over from NXT.
It's tough to take a bath with picks when there's a five match card.
Yeah, but you and I kind of didn't do ourselves any favors.
Well,
I
we went 3-2, right?
Yeah, but fucknuts over here went 4-1.
Well, what else are you going to do? Unless you go 1-4, you're not really having a bad. Even 2-3 is not awful.
But we're still so damn close. Like, these five match shows kind of still, like, you feel like.
Right.
if nobody's going to break out, then they're kind of like just there.
That's what keeps it intense, man. And we still got a long ways to go.
Well, not only that, but this fucking dog shit show on Friday afternoon in Saudi Arabia is going to be awful.
Ah, it's going to be fantastic.
Completely fucking mindless, meaningless shit.
WWE's doing great.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Doing great stuff. Love the TV.
Great times, great hits. Did you watch Raw?
I did watch Raw.
I fucking watched, like, the first hour, I think.
Oh, boy. And you tuned out?
Yeah.
What lost you?
It's just that I didn't want to go back to it. Like, I watched Bray Wyatt's Firefly thing.
That was pretty good.
I mean, it's funny. I like the Mr. McMahon with the devil horns and all that and doing the fat dance to, like, lose weight.
He looked like John Redbeard. From the Extra Guys.
Hey, John Redbeard's in shape. I don't know what you're talking
about. So was Bray
Wyatt. Shh, the kayfabe, bro. That's why he was exercising.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Wasn't that an early on thing that Bray Wyatt was kind of chunky and they wanted him to get
Well, his name was Husky Harris.
Well, there you go.
So that's why that pig's name was Huskus or whatever it was called.
And do you remember when CM Punk was whipping him with the belt at the time? You know, the best in the world. The real best in the world.
I'm trying to think if his hashtag gets more likes. Because CM Punk, if I hashtag CM Punk, because I'm still getting likes on a post from Instagram from weeks ago, because I hashtag, I think, CM Punk.
Or did you hashtag best in the world, because that would be all Shane McMahon. Because he is the best in the world, Kevin. I don't know if you knew that from watching the product. We're not following WWE too closely, but apparently Shane is the fucking greatest thing on earth. I mean, that's what I've heard. I don't know.
I liked... Matt posted this on Twitter about how he didn't hate the alliance between Drew, Shane... And the Revival, I kind of agree with him. I didn't hate that.
I just hate Shane.
Well, Shane, I think eventually Shane is going to ride into the sunset. They just need him to get these. I mean, he is a name. Like, so you put him on. Listen, I'm with you. But I understand why they're rolling with him.
He blows up from fucking doing two moves on a beatdown. You know what I'm saying?
He's a big boy.
He's in shape. He's not in ring shape. He looks awful. Do you remember when Brock Lesnar first came back? He'd be wrestling for 2 minutes. His face would be completely red. That's Shane every time he starts doing something.
Yeah, that's that white, pale boy syndrome.
No,
happens to all of us.
That's fucking lack of oxygen syndrome is what it is.
That too.
Looks like a big throbbing penis after about 3 minutes of action.
Oh, boy.
Which is about par for the course, I guess.
All right, Tony.
Hey, if I get 3 minutes, brother, it's a good night.
Really?
Penis jokes here, only on The Shining Wizards.
Oh, boy, oh,
so,
boy, oh, boy.
So, Raw, I like that Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss are friends now.
No, they're not.
Well, she's going to turn on her eventually.
Yeah.
But for now, it's cool.
It's something to do. I mean, your Iconics are...
They're fucking wild, dude. I love the Iconics. They fucking lost again. Well, Peyton Royce lost.
Oh, so you're this is I just bit my tongue. Fuck.
You idiot. You fucking dummy. Are you going to be all right? Do we need to take a commercial break
no,
now?
No. Oh god, that hurt.
No, back after this. Kevin's dying.
Oh.
All right, all right, so let me tell you all what I thought about Raw. The opening shit with fucking everybody again with Roman Reigns and all that. Brock Lesnar beat up fucking Seth Rollins and didn't cash in. Like, they all said he was going to all over social media all day yesterday.
Well, that's the whole gimmick. That's what they've been doing. He's been threatening to cash in but never actually does. So I knew he wasn't going to cash in, but it also makes no sense as to why he didn't. You had him dead to rights.
Yeah. He's messing with him. That's
I know, I
it
get
is.
It, but I understand that when you mess with him, but at what point you just got to be like, hey, man, I've messed with him enough. I could beat him right now. No problem.
He's going to do it in Saudi Arabia on Friday. Well, at least, I mean, that's the next logical point.
Right, but, and I understand why they want to tease that, but it makes no sense from a logical standpoint. From, all right, you want to fuck with them, you've done it for the last few weeks, you've done it since Money in the Bank. You fucked with them. You have his ass beat down to a fucking pulp. And at what point do you have to say to yourself, all right, I mean, I've had my fun with him, but, like, I could literally walk out of here Universal Champion.
You think it's going to be a situation where when he finally cashes it in that somebody's just going to interfere just to fuck with him?
I don't know. I don't
like
know
Roman
how they're
Reigns
gonna do
maybe
that.
Just comes in and, like, fucking plants him a couple times or some nonsense.
I still don't know if Brock is going to cash in and win the belt.
What do you mean? Like
I don't know if he does cash in. I don't know if he walks out with the championship.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if he cashes in and then they could pull like a Cena and somebody just interferes. Remember that? Isn't that what happened when Cena cashed in? That's why he lost, because it was a disqualification or some nonsense.
You're asking a lot of me. Yeah, I think you're right, though.
I don't remember that specific. I just remember the fucking dumb face John Cena made when he lost. Etched into my
memory. Who the fuck did he cash in against anyway?
I don't remember. This is probably something we should have thought about had we known.
Well, I mean, we're rolling here, so.
I get it, but it goes to show you that it's all a blur, you know? He's one of a handful of people that just was not successful.
All right, so it was him. Damian Sandow wasn't successful.
Well, and Kennedy also lost it to Edge. But that's not really a cash. Well,
yeah, no, it's not, because Baron Corbin was leaving. Yeah, Baron Corbin.
There was one other person, wasn't there? I have a feeling there was like a fourth person. So it was Cena, Sandow, Corbin. Who else are we missing? I don't know. I thought there was another person.
It could be. It probably was.
Well, whatever. Whatever. I guess after about 15 more of these, we'll start getting stats like we do for the Royal Rumble. Like that Kane has been in like 17.
Oh, fuck that. I hate that shit.
Kane holds the record for 17 Money in the Bank matches, and he also holds the record for losing the most Money in the Bank matches.
They have somehow found a way to ruin my favorite event of the year for the last 10 years. By every time someone comes out, and we've talked about this ad nauseum on the show, is that it's not what they can do to win. It's like, this spot has yielded four winners, or fucking what's his name entered from this spot in 2009 and won, or bullshit. Like, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Hate it.
Yeah.
But just talk about what their strategy is going in. When they come down, it's so prepared.
It's way overbooked.
For a random drawing, you certainly know a whole lot about what this guy's done when he's done it.
That was the great thing about years ago when Pat Patterson booked them.
Because I think still does, though, doesn't he, kind of?
I don't think
he's
so.
He's got to.
I don't. It's been dog shit the past couple of years.
No, I love Rumbles.
Look, I love them, and even when they're bad,
except for the Kofi
stuff,
that's getting out of hand.
Yeah, like 6 years in a row, Kofi needs a spot.
And now they're going to do it with Naomi now. Because she did it, too.
Yeah, I know.
I think she did like a handstand or something in the Women's Royal Rumble. But I don't know how you could take the greatest, to me, a lot of people will argue WrestleMania, the greatest night of the year for me is Royal Rumble. And now we get two of them every year.
It's just,
and they still manage to make me not enjoy them.
Well, last year we got three. But this year
we're just getting one night.
Well, this year we're getting the regular Royal Rumble, the regular Battle Royal job on Friday.
50 guys.
50 guys. That's a lot of guys.
That's a lot of dick.
All right, let me. Wow.
I mean, it is.
Kevin's horny.
No, what? That's just a lot. That's a big old sausage rumble.
Listen, it's Pride Month. It's okay. You think that's why they're booking it as like a big fuck you to Saudi Arabia?
My birthday is this month.
I know. It's coming up soon.
I don't know how I feel.
Oh, I got to talk to Matt, actually.
Listen, no, don't do anything. We forgot yours. I deserve to get nothing.
Oh, no,
return.
We got to get you something.
No, I mean, unless if you get Jim Powers.
You want Jim Powers?
I want Jim Powers.
All right,
we'll put it out
Jim
there.
Powers.
But
I think we have a treat for next week anyway. Are we going to celebrate next week or the week after?
Well, it is next week.
No, but yeah, but next week's show is before your birthday. You know what I'm saying?
It's the day before.
Ooh.
My birthday, this next week will
and
be
don't
the 11th.
Wait, I'm sorry. We're fucking going way off the beaten path.
Oh, this is fine.
I think we have a guest already booked for next week, but we're not ready to announce yet.
We are not announcing it, but we do have a guest.
That's 100% locked.
Which is fine by me.
That's a great birthday gift,
I'm actually very intrigued to talk to next week's guest if it pans out, which I think it is.
Me too. I've been having a lot of fun at that guest's expense on the show lately, so it'll be pretty interesting to talk to said guest.
Yes. Said guest. Who said guest? Sid Guest?
Sid?
Sid? We're talking to Sid?
You want
to
call Sid? I got his number.
We still have his number?
Of course we do.
How many times do you think he's changed his number since
Never.
That night?
Never.
He still has the same number.
I guarantee you 100%, if we were to call it right now, Sid would answer the phone.
So for any new listeners that might just be joining us, from when we first started the show,
very, very long story short, Sid no-showed a PWS event when Pat Buck was in charge, and Pat Buck got in the center of the ring and gave out Sid's number to everyone in the crowd.
Yeah.
To which we called a few weeks later, and he actually answered the phone. So if he didn't change it a few weeks after the fact, he never changed it. And besides, you know what a pain in the ass is for a guy like Sid to have to change his phone? How many fucking kiosks do you think they have in Arkansas?
Is that where he's from?
Oh yeah, he lives in West Memphis, doesn't he?
West Memphis, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the king. I'm the king of West Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow. You could have said Arkansas.
No, that's too many syllables. Well, no, it's the same. Well, I'm the king of West Memphis, Arkansas. Well, I'm the king.
Hey, speaking of kings, your buddy, the dead man, the king of the fucking Rumbles, the king of WrestleMania until he lost twice.
How is that my boy?
I don't know. Isn't he your boy?
I mean, I met him once at a private meet and greet with him back when I was like 13.
Ooh, so he is your boy.
WDHA.
Do you think you could get him for the show or?
Yeah, I think that's a lock.
Awesome.
I think it goes Jim Powers, then Undertaker.
And then next week's guest.
Well, next
week's guest first.
Yes,
then
that's
Jim
true.
Powers, then Undertaker.
Very good point.
Something like that.
And then it's Mega Powers.
We don't want Mega Powers on the show. We're not talking Japanese women's wrestling. Why would we have them on the show?
All right. Stop. Let's nip that in the bud before we...
Ooh, what did you say?
Nip it in the butt. Yes, we are live
right.
on the butt.
We are live. We're using the butt.
We're using the butt, but we are live
on
the rants.
We're kind of going through the butt. Does that make sense?
Ooh.
So any points in this and that's as you want to touch on Raw?
That's a highway.
It's a Hershey highway.
That's right.
Ugh.
I left you wide open for that one.
Fucking gross.
Just like the
Correct.
Butt.
Correct. Ding.
Oh, fuck. Wait. That's what I wanted.
All right. So Undertaker showed up, did the, you know, gimmicky promo, which, you know, will be followed up tonight on SmackDown Live by Goldberg, probably saying, rest in peace, Undertaker.
Ooh.
That's right.
I don't have him going, C-mole.
Why?
I don't know.
We got to get a good Goldberg line, a drop in there somewhere.
I've got every other fucking sound effect and sound bite and music you could ask for, but I don't have that. Anyway.
Raw, you had Ricochet, Cesaro, which was...
Again,
fun match. You know what I did pop for, though? When he pulls the table out and R-Truth is, like, on it, like, hiding. As much as I hate that 24-7 thing.
I told you.
That was funny. What the fuck did you tell me?
I told you. Mick Foley, the whole introduction of the title was absolute dog shit. But the concept, in and of itself, and R-Truth is running with it, it's a great idea.
I said I hated it, but I understood it.
And now, did you know that Jinder Mahal became champion for about 30
Jinder
seconds?
Jinder Mahal?
Yes.
As Booker T would say.
Did you see that on YouTube?
The golf course thing?
The thing that really put it over the top and what made it wonderful was that Jinder Mahal shows
Mahal.
Up on the golf course in full wrestling gear with his trunks, with his boots, with his knee pads, everything.
So now, do you think that they had like a foursome scheduled for the course and they just filmed it? They just thought like, hey, let's do this? Or do you think it was like planned? Like, do you think they actually golfed?
No. Well, maybe.
That seems like something that would be kind of fun. All right, we're golfing. Hey, why don't we film this?
Well, the banter, R-Truth was actually dropping a lot of golfing knowledge, to which Carmella was just like, who's that and who's that and who's that, which I thought was pretty funny.
They're good together.
They really are.
That R-Truth doesn't age is amazing to me.
He's 50.
He's got to be there. He's got to be right there.
Fuck, let me look up Ron Killings.
And he looks... He's in better shape than some of these like 20-year-old kids that are
on
the roster.
He's definitely in better shape than I am.
I mean, I've
been home. I took a walk.
These action
the first
figures
time.
on the wall here are in better shape than you are.
Hey, come on.
I mean, listen, a pot kettle here, dude. I'm in terrible shape.
R-Truth is
47.
Wow.
I got it.
Well, wait a minute. I got it. Wait. Fuck. Oh, yeah, you got it.
Correct.
I was looking for that.
Ding.
January 19th, 1972. He's 2 years older than me.
That's the truth.
What's up? What's up?
People over there, what's up? If you hear me, this is a dee-ba-doo. What's up?
What's up?
What's up? What's up?
Our truth in my man, what's up?
Lil Jimmy.
Lil Jimmy. That'd be a fucking good gimmick. They pin
if Little Jimmy is the 24/7 champion.
They pin our truth, but like it turns out he's not the champ that Little Jimmy is. And then everybody's looking for Little Jimmy.
You have like someone running around like a fishing pole with the belt on a wire, so it's like invisible. So it's gonna you don't see the person. It's just the belt.
Now that we're talking about it, it's gonna happen. You watch.
It's just like when we didn't at one point one of us like booked the primos as being like tour guides or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that happened the next week.
They were what you call it? Not tour guides.
The Shining Stars.
Yeah, but they were selling
timeshares or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it didn't. some team bought the timeshares to give up their title match. Wasn't it R-Truth and Goldust or R-Truth and somebody?
I don't know. But
yeah, I think it was R-Truth, though.
Probably. It's probably Truth and Goldust.
God damn. There's Truth and
Or
Goldust.
Was Truth teaming with, like, Kofi at that time? Or?
Fuck, I don't know. They definitely need a new belt. A new fucking 24/7 belt. That belt is dog shit.
You don't like that belt?
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is Brock Lesnar scheduled for Saudi Arabia? Is he going to be on the show?
See.
He's in a match.
It says no.
So he's probably going to be in the 50-man Battle Royal thing gimmick.
Just don't know. The preview that WWE.com put on their WWE.com.
Oh. Wow. Allow myself to introduce myself.
Was Brock Lesnar lurking in the shadows or something of that nature. Woo! So he's going to be there.
Well, they're not flying him over to do nothing. They can't. Even if he attacks Seth Rollins, he either has to be in that Battle Royal or he's got to win the title. He's got to do something.
I could see him winning the Battle Royal now that you mention it. And I don't want to jump ahead to picks.
No, I don't either, but that's why I was asking because it seems
like now that you
weird.
Mention it, I could definitely... But if he's there just to cash in, why would he put himself through a Battle Royal to... I mean, again, I'm thinking logically. So, do you think he comes in and like throws out 49 motherfuckers?
It's possible.
And doesn't break a sweat doing it? Because I tried to before the show, I was trying to think of how like can they fill a 50-man? Obviously, they can between NXT and 205 Live and the roster, unless he
pulls like a royal like a Money in the Bank job where he shows up like near the end.
Bank job.
Yeah. Yes. You need both hands for a bank job, Kev.
Whoa.
Hey-o.
Scrooge McDuck.
Fucking A. Any other news and notes that you want to go over with Raw?
From Raw? Not really.
That's what I mean, dude. It was like a whole lot of this and that again. I don't know.
But I'm looking. I put together a makeshift like roster of what that Battle Royal could look like.
Oh, God.
Based on just who wasn't on in a match.
And which one of your action figures won?
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh!
No, because I don't have any. I don't collect current figures.
You should.
I mean, I collect the retros, but not...
Didn't your boy Brian Myers tell you some of them are going to be worth money?
I have two Brian Myers figures.
Ooh, is there a variant one?
There's a Chase. The Target
no
Chase.
Way.
Yep.
You got the Chase?
I got both. I couldn't find the Chase in stores, but I ordered it from Ringside Collectibles.
What's the Chase?
It's just his... It's like Matt, as the Mets fan who's just walking in, could attest. Like, the Mets have... Like, in all his gear is orange and blue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they have, like, an alternate third jersey.
Is black.
That's black with orange and blue on it.
That's cool.
So his gear was based on that. But I couldn't find it. It took me long enough to find the regular. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just ordering the Chase from Ringside Collectibles.
What does that run you? Like, what is it? What is an action figure run you these days?
20 bucks. Plus
really?
20, 25 or something like that.
That seems like a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
I remember the LJNs were 10 bucks at Big Apple Toys, which was like my local quote-unquote toy store, which is literally in the town
where
I
live. See, that even seems like it was a little high back
then.
Yeah,
but I'm saying like that was like a local toy store. That wasn't like your Toys R Us. It was probably $7.99 or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
That sounds – because I remember going to stores and seeing like – it was always Terry Funk and Bob Orton. Always.
Well, unless,
and Iron Sheik and
unless
like,
Matt's family was there, and then all the Terry Funks were gone because he got them for Christmas.
Matt, you got teas in the fridge, bud.
So that puts a nice little bow on Raw, I guess.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. With that being our Raw coverage for the evening, and then now that Matt Shining Wizards Matt is here, and again, we'll be joined by Alexander Hammerstone at 8:30, just about an hour from now.
He's the leader of the dynasty, by the way. I mean, he would have to.
I think it's kind of like.
Look,
I mean,
he's a champ.
Well,
Holiday
is like his marketing agent.
Look,
so
that's like
I still haven't figured that out yet. Because like to me, like that's and this is no disrespect to Hammerstone, Hammerhead,
Hamilstone, Martin Luther Jr.
Alexander Cameltoe.
Yes, big meaty lips.
MJF is like he's like the guy, right?
But. All right, look.
If Alex is listening, listen, you're a star in the making,
listen,
no doubt.
Stop.
You're already a star.
This is the way you got to think about it. Look at the Nation of Domination. The Rock was the Intercontinental Champ, right? But Farouk was the leader.
Correct.
Who was really in charge of the Nation of Domination? Come on, let's be honest.
That's fair.
How do you not have a guy that's a champion be the guy in charge?
I think they're all equals.
And he's the first
the
first ever national openweight champion.
First ever.
I would think that puts him in the alpha chair.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
He's a monster, dude.
He's a big boy.
He's like Scott Steiner and Mr. Touchdown had a kid. Fucking Hammerstone.
This just in, Hammerstone has canceled his appearance on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Bro, if you can't take that blowing smoke, I don't
know what to tell they've been healing us on the Twitter. Matt, good job with that. He's peeing. But
who, Alex?
No, they have, but they both, all three of them.
How does he get pee out of his fucking camel toe?
Matt tried to make a joke on Twitter and it didn't go over very well.
Don't worry, man. He's coming.
No, I got him. I'm looking at him. It was just funny because they were healing us pretty good.
It's a shame. He's looking so much better too. And now he's drinking two teas.
Two teas, one cup.
Two teas Bowman over here.
Teas for two and two for teas.
Oh, great. Now we're going to get to see his fucking nipples when he puts on a, Fake News Tony shirt. Oh, now he's not going to do it in the room. Folks, if you want a Fake News Tony shirt, and they do look pretty awesome.
They look really good, by the way.
Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/Shining Wizards. Get yourself a SWK shirt, Shining Wizards Kevin, in the NWO Wolfpack style.
Beautiful. Ooh. Simple.
Get yourself an Uncle Creepy Matt shirt, which is really fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's Uncle Creepy.
Or get yourself a Fake News Tony shirt.
Beautiful.
Your boys are rocking tonight.
Soft fit.
Looks good. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I got to stop eating the cake, though, too, dude. But looks good. Looks good, brother. Hey, anytime you want to join us, I don't know what the hell else you have to do, picking your balls, picking your asshole over here. Dropping everything. What a fucking mess. Hey, you know, we were waiting to talk about the pay-per-view results.
I know. I listened in the car.
Wait, you listened to the show? That's awesome. He always listens to the show.
Yeah, unlike our guests.
Oh! We're trying to make sure he still calls in at 8:30.
Oh, he'll fucking call in.
He is calling at 8:30, right? Like, we're not calling him.
Yeah, he's going to call us.
Okay,
why?
No, I'm just...
You sat, what happened here?
I don't know.
Did someone screw... Someone screwed up some sort of wire here.
Well, I can only hear myself in my right ear.
Yeah.
Wait, for real?
Something happened.
Just now?
Yeah.
Is that better? Oh, that's much better. Oh, maybe because I was holding the thing.
Yeah, probably, dick. You can't keep that shit in your hand. You either got to plug it in or leave it.
That's what she said.
Hi-yo!
Tony,
stop ringing the bell.
Is this for me?
Yeah, it's for you.
You know, I was just fucking around.
No, I thought that you really wanted it.
Well, I do, but you don't have to give it to me.
No, but I was fucking around not giving it to you. I was like, okay, let's see if Kevin could go with a week without it.
So who do we got over there? Desmond Wolfe?
No, that's Nigel.
That's Desmond Wolfe.
That's Nigel.
But that was his impact.
He's
character.
Driving shotgun with Gulak. They're going to fucking NXT together.
Yeah, little tiny Arn is in the back.
Arn is like their guardian angel. He's going, now Jesus, take the wheel. Don't pull a fucking Adrian Adonis now.
Well, you know, he can drink if he's in the back seat.
No, not unless there's a partition in the vehicle.
Is that even a thing?
I mean, let's not get real, like, logistic here with the laws. I mean,
we're talking professional wrestlers.
You're not breaking them unless you get caught, so.
That's a very good point.
Did the Desmond Wolfe character come with a can of tuna fish?
Aha.
Aha.
Ahoy.
Aha.
It's a beautiful looking belt, by the way, this white intercontinental.
I know, isn't it great?
Belt.
It's awesome. Hey, Matt.
Yo, what's up, Hammer?
Stone?
Well, Hammerstone's calling 8:30, so we got some time.
Hamilton?
We were waiting for you to actually cover some of the stuff that we want you to be involved in.
Yeah, brother,
so
let's
we could do one of two things. Do you want to talk about NXT TakeOver, or would you rather cover the Bully Ray incident?
Let's talk a little NXT TakeOver before we jump into this.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Bully Ray situation.
All right. Do you want to talk the pay-per-view first, or do you want to get right into, like, where we stand?
Well, you guys went over the what we ended up having, like what the records were.
Yeah.
It's time for the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick extravaganza. The result of NXT TakeOver 25. Or as they say in WWX, XXT.
Every show's an extravaganza.
Of course
it
is.
I love it.
Oh, wait until we get to the second half where we're picking Saudi Arabia.
Oh, can't wait. All right, so you went over what everybody did. Yourself and Kevin went 3-2. I went 4-1.
Woohoo!
Somehow we all managed to lose the tag team match.
Oh my!
Fucking Street Profits.
Who did you took Oni and Birch? Yep.
I took Undisputed Era.
You took Undisputed Era,
and
I took
the
Forgotten Sons.
Yeah, the Beef Trucks.
I thought they had it.
And then I took Adam Cole. Baby.
Jerk. I thought for sure Gargano was going to retain.
No, Gargano.
Why would they not put the belts on the Undisputed Era and then give the belt to fucking
Because if you notice, he was the only one of the Undisputed Era that won. So maybe they'll tease down the road, like he could be his arrogant, pricky little self saying, like, you know, you guys dropped the ball again, like they teased initially. Right?
I guess.
Yes. And Johnny Gargano, great transitional champion. Great job.
More than a transitional champion.
That was his only defense.
No, he beat, wasn't it? Nope. Oh, no, the two out of three falls match was for the belt.
Yes, and he also lost the only time he defended the North American Championship. You want to know why?
He's a fucking loser!
That was smart.
Johnny Gargano's a fucking loser!
No, yeah. He's not!
Yes, he is, because that's his gimmick. He's like the Tommy Dreamer of NXT. Ah. He should never win a championship. He's like the ultimate underdog.
Yeah. I mean, I've said that for a while. We all have. But I liked when he did it. Like, you still liked when Tommy Dreamer won the belt.
I didn't.
Really?
As an ECW guy, no. It was kind of like, eh.
Oh, when he fucking blubbered like an idiot. Thank you very much.
And it was such like a...
Well, he won the tag belt.
And didn't he lose it right away too?
Yeah.
It wasn't to Mike Awesome, right? Or no?
No, wait. Dreamer beat Raven? No, who did Dreamer beat? Raven?
He didn't beat Raven for the title. I'm not sure he beat Taz. Raven.
No, Taz lost to
No, it was.
He lost to Taz when Taz won
beat Mike Awesome.
Yes, when he beat Mike Awesome. But then who did he lose to? It wasn't Rhino.
Right, I'm pretty sure it was Mike Awesome.
Just Incredible?
You're right.
It was just incredible.
He won it at CyberSlam, and then he lost it right away to Just Incredible.
Now, that's the coolest.
Oh, okay.
That's not just the best. That's just incredible.
Let you have that one.
Yes, you will.
And but I'm confusing it with one of my favorite moments of all time is when Raven returned.
When they won the tag belts.
And we beat the Dudleys. That was absolutely
on their last
fantastic.
Night when they won the titles.
Yeah, they won the titles.
Who did they beat for the titles that night? It wasn't the Gangstanators. Who was it?
Was it the Impact Players?
Or was it Amish and Doring?
No, it wasn't Amish and Doring.
No, because they
were only one-time champs.
Yeah, and they were the last ones.
Gotcha. Yeah. Fuckity fuck, going down memory lane here with the ECW.
It might have been the Impact Players. I don't think it was...
Cronus and
it wasn't
the
Cronus
Gangstanators.
Yeah,
no, that was a little before that.
It might have been. It's probably somebody like the fucking FBI.
I was just gonna say that,
or like Mikey and
Tajiri. Maybe Mikey and Tajiri.
Were they former champs?
They had
Mikey and Tajiri. Yeah, yeah, they were tag team champions. Hold on, I got it right here.
Oh, you got it because I'm pulling it up myself.
It was Spike and Balls.
Christ,
Spike and Balls beat
Spike and Balls.
Why don't you come over here and play with your Spike and Balls?
Spike Remember that Adam ball. Sandler?
Of course.
Hey, you gotta go, why don't you come over here to Mama and play with your Spike and Balls?
Tommy Dreamer, Raven, Impact Players, Tommy Dreamer, Masato Tanaka, Mike Awesome, and Raven.
Dreamer and Tanaka were champs?
The Impact Players vacated. Did they vacate because Just Incredible became world champion?
They vacated because he threw down the titles and he spat on them before challenging Dreamer for the ECW
Championship. That was it,
because
that happened at CyberSlam. Yep.
And then the Unholy Alliance won a three-way dance against Tommy Dreamer and Jerry Lynn.
Wow.
And Simon Diamond and Johnny Swinger.
Great underrated tag team, by the
Absolutely.
Way. Simon Diamond and Johnny Swinger.
As hard as it is to watch 1999-2000 ECW, god damn, there was some fucking good... They're good workers there.
It was really – I mean, that's when you had – like that's when like C.W. Anderson came into prominence, Steve Corino.
Yeah, Chris Hamrick. Johnny Swinger.
Johnny Swinger.
Simon Diamond.
And they carried that gimmick into TNA, Five and Dimer. Swinger and Diamond were – Impact.
Yeah, but let's face facts. A lot of those gimmicks were not ECW gimmicks, that was the problem. You know, they were just young. Like, you had a whole bunch of young upstarts at that point.
Dude, it was still cool. Rhino, like, Rhino obviously was the last ECW champion. So
yeah,
that
a lot
major.
Of the guys that made ECW were not really around anymore.
No, it was Dreamer.
It was Dreamer and
Scotty
RVD.
Anton.
Yeah, holy shit. Was he a pirate at that point?
Arr, he was Kerry Sane.
See, and Matt hates pirate gimmicks.
I really do. They're fucking
stupid. Paul Burchill was awesome. Come on. Jean-Pierre Lafitte, the pirate.
Jean-Pierre, look at him now.
I know. He's fucking killing himself and loving every minute of
it. He's got a Ring of Honor title shot, doesn't he?
I think so.
No, he lost to Taven.
Already lost to Taven?
Okay. Yeah, the next Ring of Honor title shot belongs to...
Kairi Sane.
No.
Oh.
Pineapple Head.
Oh! Oh. Good for him.
At best in the world.
Too bad he's not going to win. Matt Taven's going to win.
I don't know, man.
Matt Taven loses. Come on.
Jeff Cobb's still never been pinned clean.
Well, never been pinned.
Never been kissed.
He wasn't pinned in the four-way.
Right. So that he's never actually lost. So you think Matt Taven's
going to
beat Jeff Cobb?
Well, he lost. I mean, he didn't win.
He's a fucking loser.
Well, there you go. Hula hula.
All right, fair enough. But back to fucking NXT, shall we?
Yeah.
Sure.
I like that talk, though.
Go ahead.
That was a great talk. Yeah. I don't know. You want to talk about HC Loke? What do you want to talk? 2000 CCW?
No.
Julio De Niro?
No.
And Easy Money.
Huh? Hey. Kid Cash?
Chili Willy. If there's no Chili Willy talk, there's no Easy.
Chili Willy was
Chili
early.
Willy was mad over,
dude. Yeah, but he was early whirly. He wasn't lady.
Weren't the Dups there for like a minute?
The Dups were there.
The Dups.
Yep, the Dups were there.
What'd you guys think of the NXT TakeOver 25?
Loved it.
Yeah, it was good because I didn't see it. I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to watch it yet. I was busy catching up on my MLWs.
All right, fair enough.
All right, so did you watch Fury Road? How was that?
Well, the first hour that aired this week, No. We're covering. Let's finish what we started first, Kevin.
Before we make fun of you?
Let's finish what we started.
All right, let's finish what we started. NXT, great, as always. As to be expected, they put on another phenomenal show.
In our text message, though, you had a couple little things. That you hated. Like, I was like, the show was amazing, and you kept coming back with the negative.
I don't think the right team won the tag team.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Ladder match.
I didn't see it, but I don't think the right team won.
I really felt like it should have just been the Undisputed Era against Only and Lorcan. Right? Only in Birch.
Oh, kind of like when they put the big women's in the fucking four-way women's match.
I get that they're telling a story. The Forgotten Sons were, I literally forgot they were in there. Like that whole spot where
with
Gunnar
Jackson
comes
right
out.
There.
Yeah. Like, and he fucking destroys everybody, and then the Forgotten Sons are they were women's Royal Rumble hiding outside the ring. Like, it was.
I thought that I had a lock.
That was a perfect opportunity. They would have been such an upset, too, if he clears the ring and they throw those ladders up and they go get those belts.
Yeah.
Good talk.
But not so much. And I didn't think the Street Profits were really all that in the match.
I mean, no. At one point or the other, none of the teams were all in the match.
I felt like we saw a lot of the Undisputed
guys.
Well, because they're the most over guys on the show, so you got to keep them in. And they are. I mean, no disrespect to anybody else. I think Oney and Birch are in that category too. They're the workhorses. They're the guys that are probably best conditioned to be there. And you get heat on them, it works. So that's why they were in the match, I think, more. And you're right about that. But I thought that. I'm okay with the Street Profits winning. I'm not a huge fan of them, except Montez is the man. Montez Ford is the greatest, but I thought that there'd be more. That was weird. No, he's not the greatest.
Greater than Shane McMahon.
He's the best in the world.
No, he's the best. This guy's the greatest.
All right. Greatest in the world.
That's true.
Montez Ford.
No, he's just the greatest. We didn't say the world.
Oh, okay.
I just think that there was more in them chasing like a team like the Forgotten Sons. Or something like that. Making the Forgotten Sons the transitional champs and getting over Jackson Riker, huge. So I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it. The match was fucking fantastic.
Right. So Boozer beat the Pirate?
Baszler?
Yeah.
The Pirate's no longer on.
She's the Sky Genius?
The Genius of the Sky.
Fucking these nicknames.
What does that even mean?
Fucking
I mean,
words.
She's very smart at Sky.
The Genius of the Sky.
The Genius of the Sky. She flies.
Above average intelligence of the Sky.
She flies around.
Okay, terrific.
I love that match.
It was good. It was well done.
Did any of the other MMA women's come out again?
They tried.
Later, but then...
Who stopped them?
Candice LeRae.
Oh!
Mrs. Transitional Champ.
I thought the Bukkake Express would have stopped them.
No Bukkake Express. One of them apparently had the fucking pirate had like syphilis or something.
No, for real?
No, what'd she have? She had I don't know. She was in the hospital with something. they were talking about
a staph infection.
They said, "Why do you have a yolk on your penis?" I said, "Oh, it's driving me nuts." Nothing.
The worst. The absolute worst. That's Carrie Sane's fucking stupid Twitter account. Fucking dumb whore.
Aren't you glad I didn't say pirates?
Take it easy.
You can't say dumb whore?
No. If Bully Ray taught us anything this week, it's to respect the women's of wrestling.
Like, look.
Oh, boy. Let's get
there. We'll get to that.
We'll see.
An early. It's a little tidbit.
Does Carrie Sane not have a fucking Twitter? I thought I saw it on Twitter. She had apoplexy, hypothermia.
Apoplexy.
What is that?
I don't know. She had some kind of reaction, and she was in the hospital, and they were.
Why couldn't they just say she had 104 fever, like they did to Bret Hart?
And then
I had a fever of 100 degrees.
And her friend, the genius of the sky, was there.
Lanny Poffo was there?
The genius of the sky, Io Shirai. Rhymes, I guess.
That's good.
She was there to comfort her friend, and her friend was so happy. I don't know.
I'm doing this for Carrie Sane.
The
women's division.
I can't.
I am the genius Lanny Poffo, and I will tell a tale of the way I protected all these women. I doubled my legs over the back of my head, and in my semen, they were all swimming.
That was fucking great.
That's good. Done.
How the hell did you do that?
I'm a genius.
We're going home.
We're going home, people.
That's it. Alex, we'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
The match was good. Don't get me wrong. And I like the story that they told. And the help from Candice LeRae in the end where she, like, snaps and goes, like...
I just keep expecting everyone to rhyme now.
Where she fucking snaps and she goes, like, ham and she fucking attacks her, like, cool. You know, the fucking moonsault with the chair was an awesome spot. Good match.
That was after the match.
Yeah, it was after the match. I didn't have a problem with that match, surprisingly. Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong was fucking awesome.
Yep.
Everything you'd expect out of them.
That's one match I actually want to go back and watch. Was that match of the night, or what do you think?
No, ooh, I don't think it was match of the night at all.
No,
Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano was followed probably by the ladder match.
Okay.
To me.
Wow. So Riddle and
there was nothing bad on this show, Tony.
Well, Matt just said there were a couple.
Well, I'm nitpicking. Okay. Oh shit! I gave him the wrong number. Sorry.
That's all right. Type.
First of all. Tyler Breeze, Velveteen Dream, go fuck your hand, okay?
Yeah, why?
The fucking story is just stupid.
I just hate Velveteen Dream.
I like Velveteen Dream a lot,
actually.
What's
his name?
It was rushed. It was only 1 week's worth of build, was it not? Or was
it
2 weeks?
I don't watch NXT on the regular. I wish I did.
I think it was only literally 1 or 2 weeks worth of hype. It was just Tyler Breeze coming back saying, which I thought was great. The interaction they had was fantastic. About, like, you know, you can't just come back here and take my... It was basically about the spotlight. Velveteen Dream is basically Tyler Breeze turned up 100.
Right.
So...
Because they can't turn Tyler Breeze up anymore.
It was... You knew from day one, since that match was made, you knew what was going to happen.
Story was great.
Wait, you compared Tyler Breeze and Velveteen Dream like they're kind of the same character?
They pretty much are,
but Velveteen
Dream... So Velveteen Dream is going to fail when he gets called up.
Well, hopefully he never does.
Right. I mean, well, whatever.
No, Velveteen Dream, I mean, I guess I'm kind of blinded by what they've done to Tyler Breeze over the last how many years. So seeing him back was kind of refreshing. But even though it's NXT, you can't – just because you go from WWE to NXT, you don't forget what you've done with the guy for, you know, the fashion police, which was funny, but they weren't booked in a position to win. So you can't forget that. You can't forget how Tyler Breeze was booked since he was brought up to the main roster.
Right. So, the story they told in the ring, I enjoyed that. Things I didn't enjoy.
Supermodel kick. Hasn't that always been his thing, though?
I don't fucking know. The Dream Valley Driver? Are you really not going to say fucking death?
But it fits his gimmick.
It's fucking stupid. He's got the Dream Valley Driver, the Dream Elbow Drop, the fucking Dream fucking Machine.
Well, Cena went from the FU to the Attitude Adjustment.
It's all what did you call it before that?
The FU.
No, before that.
Oh, come on, dude. They do the same shit
of them. I didn't even realize. Yeah.
I mean, everything
Death Valley Driver.
And I don't like, as a whole on NXT, people using other people's finishers.
Why? Everybody
that happens everywhere.
I know. I don't know why it irked me.
It happened all through the 90s, dude. Everybody was hitting everybody's finishers on each other.
It just irked me. No, I've never seen anyone hit Jake with a DDT. Is that like the most sacred finish? Like, not the DDT. Jake's DDT.
Yeah, because nobody, well, The Undertaker was the only person ever to kick out of it, right?
But like, no one ever gave Jake a DDT.
Well,
right?
And no one, when Jake was wrestling, no one else used the DDT.
In the WWF.
Well, in the WWF, of course.
I mean, Arn Anderson used it quite a bit. But like, he was like probably the only other guy.
I don't know if was he using it in 92 when Jake went there?
Yeah. No, maybe not. But he was using it. I remember
him Arn Anderson, that was his finish. That was Arn Anderson's finish.
Was it? Was
yeah.
He used that. He used the spine buster.
His finish was the DDT. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
I mean, maybe... He may have had a few, but...
No, because Jake went after that. They had come back already. Him and, well, not Tully.
I don't even know if Arn Anderson and Jake were in WC. I mean, they had to have been at the same time.
Well, then again, he might have already been in tag team wrestling at that point, Arn Anderson. He definitely
was in tag team wrestling.
No, but what I'm saying is like...
Either with the Dangerous Alliance
or... It was him and Zbyszko in 91.
As a Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah. They were the Enforcers.
The Enforcers. Oh, God, I love that
team. And then eventually he was with Paul Roma too, wasn't he?
Yes. When Roma joined the Horsemen.
Yeah, that was a couple years later.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, I think they were the tag champs.
But at the time...
They had to have been.
They were.
They were. Arn Anderson and Paul Roma.
But what I'm saying is at the time is Arn Anderson was tied up with tag teams. So if Jake came back, Arn maybe didn't have the necessity...
The need to use the DDT. Gotcha.
Exactly.
But
Bobby Eaton could have been dropping some Alabama Jams or, you know... Fucking, they could have been hitting somebody with whatever random woman's shoe was fucking managing, you know, Zbyszko. Was it Baby Doll? I don't know. Somebody.
The match was fine. I just hate this fucking supermodel kick.
Ugh. I think he's used that since he was in NXT his first run. I think that's what they called it.
Still, yuck. And I can't stand Moro. Ronaldo, I can't.
Mamma mia!
It's fucking...
I like turtles.
Oh, my. And Beth Phoenix. Oh, God.
I thought she was fantastic.
I thought she was horseshit.
And I know Kate the Great is listening right now. She's going to kill me for this, but I thought she was absolutely flawless.
Flawless.
Jesus! Wow. I thought her insights on every single match, when they gave her a question to answer, she answered it perfectly with logic and intelligence in terms of how moves affect. I thought it was perfect.
Where would you put her on the...
She was everything that Renee Young should be.
Where would you put her on the All Elite Wrestling Alley scale?
Oh, she was 100 times better than Alley.
I already forgot about that.
Oh, I didn't.
Good callback.
Beth did... Like the Mae Young Classic and stuff like that. I believe
I find Beth to be very good on commentary.
I thought she was fantastic.
I'm
gonna get a lot of hate on that.
No, you're not.
I thought she was great.
I don't think she's produced either. I don't like her. Like Renee Young, you could tell like they're feeding her dumb shit to say, and she's just repeating it. But when you listen to Beth Phoenix, it sounds natural. It sounds like she's involved in the moment. She gets what's going on. Kudos
to her. She's a world. I mean, again, I'm saying this and might look at you. She's a world class wrestler. She is. I mean, she's a former champion. She's a Hall of Famer. She's a world class performer. So she knows what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And I thought that came across exponentially on this show. And so, while I kind of agree with Matt about Mauro, I say the exact opposite about Beth.
Ooh, here's an interesting question.
Oh,
Beth Phoenix and Edge, the only married couple in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
I would think so, yeah.
Trish isn't married to a wrestler.
What other dames are in there? Lita and... Is Lita married
to a wrestler?
No. And Matt Hardy is not in the Hall of Fame yet anyway, right?
Right, and what the Rebbe's not going in anytime soon anyway.
Hell no. Wow.
I think so, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't
know what it means
that,
in the long run, but there you go. Stuff.
If Candido ever get... Well, they're not... Well, never mind.
They're not married.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nah. That was
you idiots.
Yep.
Stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Gargano and Adam Cole fucking tore the house down.
Good for them.
Unbelievable match.
I love the innovative moves they did to just get to Gargano's knee, like Adam Cole, like I loved it. Like jumping off the top rope and going for the knee. When have you ever seen someone jump off the top rope and intentionally hit their knee?
Ooh, going back to that Tyler Breeze match, you know what was cool? When they played him, his equilibrium being all fucked up. And he got up and he just wildly was swinging.
Did you see, what you're talking about when Velveteen Dream was on the top rope and he just does an enziguri for no reason?
Yep.
I was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, they were playing up that he got fucking knocked in the head and he couldn't, his equilibrium was smart. All fucked up. That was good. I like that.
Or he made a huge fucking mistake and they covered for him.
No.
No, because if you look at it, Velveteen Dream was on the rope, was on the turnbuckle with his back facing Tyler Breeze, if I remember. So I'm trying to think in my head, what spot could that have been where Tyler Breeze would have hit an enziguri on that?
Yeah, no, they really played up the equilibrium thing. I thought it was cool. And back to your point, I love that the way they worked the body parts and they told the story. People were like, oh, it took a while to get going. Like, that's how you tell a story.
Thank you.
It's not all fucking high spot. You need to get to that point.
And don't get me wrong, they had their fair share of super kicks. Don't get me wrong.
5 minutes was unbelievable. Yeah. But Johnny Gargano is a consummate fucking loser.
Or consummate.
Whatever.
Condiment
or
loser.
Or constant.
He's a fucking condiment. Ketchup loser.
He's a ketchup loser. He's a
ketchup mustard loser.
Ketchup rella mustard?
Relish.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus can't save you, son. I thought it was awesome. I'm so happy Adam Cole's the fucking champion.
Yeah, you sound ecstatic.
I'm very
bro.
Happy. Johnny Gargano's a fucking loser, and he plays the underdog very well. And that's all he's good at. That's all he's fucking good at. Johnny wrestling with your fucking awful fucking.
I love that song.
Music, of course you do.
Your rebel heart.
I don't know. I have no idea. Those are the words.
Fucking loser again.
Love.
Go back to the fucking loser shack, Gargano.
He's going to the main roster.
Oh, good.
Hey, you know, coming up at 8:30, we don't have a loser on the phone. We're gonna have a winner on the phone.
We are gonna have a winner on the
phone.
Alex
Hammerstone.
What is he gonna do in the fucking main roster?
Who? Alex Hammerstone?
He'll fucking Johnny Gargano. Is he going to chase fucking R-Truth around?
No, him and fucking Velveteen Dream. We're going to fucking joik each other off.
Way to fucking plow through that.
Wait, I can't.
What?
I can't hate on your dedication to get to do that. That was
awesome. I got to keep pushing. And I'm going to keep pushing because 8:30, Alex Hammerstone's calling us. But Kevin, as we always say.
Hey, guys. Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal. Unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonderdome, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I
every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on RantEMRadio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Hey, this is Moose, and you're listening to the Shining the Wizards podcast. DJ Quest.
Nigga, this is 15 motherfucking time that I called and left
your ass. Oh, boy. Can I ask you a serious question?
What's that?
Why do you feel to play non-wrestling music?
Do you want wrestling music?
It's a wrestling fucking podcast.
Oh, when I played Slayer last week, you thought it was pretty good.
What is this garbage with the N-word being thrown around?
It's... Wait, listen.
What is it?
Shh. She's concerned because her man's been at the club all night, so she wants to check up on him and smell his dick.
This is the process that goes through your brain. You're like, you know what? I need some new music.
This is advice for the ladies out there whose mans might be cheating on them.
All four of them that listen to this podcast. All right, ladies. Well, if your man's spending all night at the club, when he comes home, smell his dick. No matter how sweaty, no matter how hot it is, if he works in a kitchen, good idea. Smell his dick when he comes home. It's either going to smell like the fucking inside of an anchovy's cunt, or it's going to smell like a dog shit inside a carcass of a rotting raccoon that's been out in 100-degree weather.
Is this better?
What is this?
You'll hear it.
All right. So,
is this man called Sting?
Yes, it is. Ding, ding, ding.
Tonight's
for the man
episode
called Sting.
It's called Smell Your Dick Hammerstone.
Smell your hammer.
We want to take this time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast over at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Of course, we're going to start with our brothers, AOP, Anthony, and Danny Rusinella, who will be returning to the ring very shortly, according to reports. Arkham, he got his knee fixed. So, Anthony, fucking thumbs up, buddy.
Did we determine which one was which?
Nope, I just did.
Well, A for Anthony is Arkham. There you go.
Beautiful.
That's what I would go with.
Cindy Ardone. She's always rocking the Shining Wizards t-shirt. Dark Helmet, Mr. Ryan Arthur. He's always chatting us up on the Twitter machine. Kathy Hummer, of course, the queener. Queener?
The queener?
The queen of the Shining Wizards.
Was she Kenny Omega, the queener?
She is. She is the queener. Manny Kratzo.
Krakowil!
Mike Martinelli.
Mike!
Sean Callejo, all the way over in New Zealand or Australia, wherever you are. Sean Toe, he's loving the Sean Spears now.
Because they have the same name.
Yeah, good call. Kate the Great,
who
is doing great things, thus the nickname. Matt Garifo, no relation.
KTG.
No relation to Kevin Garifo.
No.
None whatsoever.
Brett Simonello, no relation to Bert, who I said the first time.
What do you hear?
And, of course, William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
Now, you see, that liner would have been better over Smell Your Dick.
No.
Nothing.
Why Smell Your Dick?
You couldn't garnish Smell Your Dick enough to make it fucking be good.
Go Dick be good.
Dick be good.
I think that was Mark Merrill's gimmick after
Alexander Hammerstone joining us at 8:30. Quick recap before we move on. The standings as of today, June 4th, Kevin still sits in the lead at 64-31. Tony is two games behind at 62-33. And I picked up a game.
Oh, boy.
61-34.
Oh, you're only one behind me?
Yeah, I'm going to fucking smash the Supers Meltdown, whatever the fuck.
Super Meltdown?
Fucking awful show that is this Friday afternoon.
Are we going to do picks for that real quick? We got time. You want to get into that?
I got to get a pen. I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah.
Well, then when are we going to do it? What if we have Mr. Hammersticks for like an hour?
We got him, Mr. Hammersticks for 10, 15 minutes. Okay?
I got a piece of paper here. You want a piece of paper?
I need a pen.
I got a pen here. You want a pen?
I need a pen and a piece of paper. And
I got you a whole... Shining Wizards notepad available at shiningwizards.com/merch.
Oh, we have our own notepads
now?
No,
we don't. All right. I just want people to go there and buy t-shirts.
That's right.
I figured if they go, oh, they must be out of notepads. Let me pick up one of these swank t-shirts.
Swank.
Swank.
We got some swag t-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com.
All right, let's if one of you dildos could pull up Yahtzee. Maybe a listing of the matches.
I have it right in front of me.
Do we have any contenders in the Battle Royale?
I don't have a list of that.
I don't think they announced any.
Yeah, that was the question. But Kevin,
it's time for the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick extravaganza part 2, the Music City Showdown in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
What?
Music City Showdown, isn't it?
Yes.
Wait, all right. Could I give the Saudi Arabia national anthem now? Or
yeah. Go ahead. Play it while we do these fucking picks.
I mean, it's only twice a year.
Right. And it doesn't sound as bad as the actual country, so we're good.
Poof, Jesus.
What?
All right.
All right, that's bad.
I got to lower.
Gee, what is that?
It's their fucking national anthem,
the
dude.
What's he singing about?
Sounds just like loyalty to the king and death to the infidels.
All right. I mean, whatever keeps him in line, I guess.
We have lots of money. We are giving to
Vince. Instead of playing this, I'd rather you play Smell Your Dick.
You want Smell Your Dick?
Oh, Smell Your Dick for the picks. It rhymes.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, don't mind the N-words. It's
could
not
you do
us saying
a
no.
mashup with the Smell Your Dick and the Saudi.
No, but I could
anthem.
Do this.
All right. Ooh. Let's get this over with.
Yeah, come on, please. Alex Hammersticks is calling me.
We're really picking this 50-man battle royal?
Yeah, let's right, do
but
it.
But we don't know who's in it.
No, we know who's not in it.
Who's not in it?
Anybody that's on the card? I don't know.
But we know. I'm assuming that anyone that already has a match is not in it.
You can't assume that.
All right. But that's what we have. I mean, there's got to be some
just
sort of
guy. Just pick somebody. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
All right.
The 50-man battle royal. Matt, who you got?
Brock Lesnar.
That's my take. Kevin?
I am going. I just want to let this resonate for you guys. While I,
what do you got, footy, you fucking analytics gym over
Jesus.
There? Just pick a fucking guy.
I have a list of people that I think are going to be in it.
Oh, my God.
I am going Kevin Owens.
All right. Owens. He's not going.
Oh, he's not going?
No.
I didn't know that.
Put down Kevin for Kevin.
That's why he's not in the championship match against Dolph Ziggler.
Can we go? Can I move on?
No, he's got to pick a guy who's going to fucking be there.
Kevin, come on.
It's like when someone drafts a fucking injured guy in fantasy sports, and you got to be like, hey, he's hurt.
Always take Roger Craig.
Usually I wait till after he's made the pick, though.
Matt Riddle.
Oof,
terrible.
All right.
Pick.
Watch and see. All right. Lars Sullivan against the Lucha House Party in a 3-on-1.
You don't
want to
do my
match.
Beefy announcements? Go ahead.
What?
Lars.
All right. Thank you.
Lars.
Everyone for Lars.
Oh, the grudge match of the century. Triple H versus Randy Orton. Oh.
Ooh, tough one.
Triple H.
Randy
no
Orton.
Doubt about it. Randy no Orton. Doubt about it. Triple H does not lose.
Randy Orton.
I'm going to go with... I'm going with Triple H.
Smell your dick.
I like trips.
Roman Reigns versus the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
Kevin, who you got?
Roman Reigns.
Matt?
I got to go with Roman, too. I don't...
I was torn on this one. I'm going Shane O'Mac. There's
really?
No way Shane O'Mac is losing. He's the best in the world, dude.
Yeah, but...
They're going to pull some nonsense where he wins.
All right, fair
I
enough.
I guarantee you.
What do you got next?
Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley in some nonsense match.
I don't know. Strowman.
Yep. Right.
Definitely Strowman.
Strowman. I'll go Braun across the board with you.
Nice. The demon Finn Balor defends the IC belt against Andrade.
Matt, who you got?
The demon. The demon doesn't lose.
Yeah, demon. Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
This is like WrestleMania caliber fucking show, right? That's what they're saying. It's fucking dog shit.
Seth Rollins defends the Universal title against Baron Corbin.
I'll go Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Seth Rollins too. There's no rhyme or reason. Like, it's just like there's no real explanation for this. Like,
I'm gonna say
house show.
I'm gonna say Baron Corbin.
You're so full of shit.
And
then you wonder why you're in last place.
And then Brock cashes it on Corbin instead of Seth. Is that what you're saying?
Never in a million years.
Could be a deal.
Nope. Yeah, the deal is Seth Rollins is winning. That's the deal.
All right.
Kofi Kingston defends the WWE title against Dolph Ziggler.
We've seen Dolph in every single impossible situation like this where he's going to lose and make Kofi look like $1 million. So I'm taking Kofi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kofi. No arguments
there. Kofi across the board.
So I guess the only ones we have different are...
No, no, we're not done yet, Kevin.
Oh, there's more? What?
Goldberg versus The Undertaker!
I'm going Undertaker.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going no contest.
Is that allowed?
I don't think we've ever allowed that.
I can't
that.
Pick a winner because I think it's going to be some bullshit schmoz where we get some garbage Undertaker-Goldberg tag match at the next Saudi Arabia.
Right, well, I'm
Saudi
with
Arabian
you on
show.
That.
You know,
but...
I was thinking that too, that they might pull that shit the same night and have Undertaker and Goldberg team up against somebody.
The same way they did, like, didn't they do that already with, like, Kane and, oh no, they had announced that.
They did it with Lita and Trish at that women's pay-per-view. Where they wound up just putting him in a tag match. He might be onto something.
He's definitely onto something. But can you pick that in picks?
All right, but let me ask you this. If that match starts and then they wind up changing it into a tag match, does that mean that that's a no contest? Like, how does that go?
Yeah, you can't
or does that just become null and void?
But you can't pick that. See, you can't,
I don't think we're going to have a winner.
You can't win in that situation then. Like, yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to win in that situation.
Yeah, well, like if they look
if it's
too-
a no contest, I win because I called it.
But we're picking winners. We're not picking no winners.
I'm tempted
we're
to
not
switch.
Picking finishes. We're
I'm
picking winners.
Tempted to switch my pick
right,
to no contest.
I don't think there's going
mean,
to be a
case,
winner.
I mean, if that's the case, I'm doing it too.
That's fine. We could do it across
we're
the board.
Shitting on Matt's pick.
Don't look. I just.
I understand. And I agree with you.
How
that it could
gonna,
happen.
How are you going to pin either of these guys?
Goldberg doesn't do anything anymore.
Undertaker doesn't do anything
but
either.
But Undertaker's your guy. Goldberg has grown up. I think Grover will take the loss.
Okay, so then I think it's going to be some schmoz deal because then you're going to get a tag match next time to go to Saudi Arabia with these two goofs against like...
Elias and fucking...
Yeah, some fucking
oh, no.
garbage.
Elias and Claymore.
Baron and... Yeah, Claymore.
Baron, even
Claymore
better.
And Flanagan.
There you
that's
go.
Where, that's what we're getting.
In your face. But you can't...
So if it ends in a no contest and there's not a winner, then I win.
But there's so many different ways that could happen. Like, does a double DQ equal a no contest? Does a switch to a tag match equal a no contest? Does a double count out?
That's a great question.
See, I wasn't you have the advantage in that.
I wasn't showing my hand
Fuck.
Before the show to ask what is allowed.
Yeah, no. You know what? Fuck it. I'm sticking with Undertaker.
We can talk about this after the after we
no,
get off
I'm
the show.
I'm sticking with Undertaker.
It's just there's so many more variables for a no contest than there is for an actual winner.
If
Which
neither
is not fair.
Look, at the end of the night, neither one of these guys.
Were you going to say the day and night at the same time?
Look, I'll say it right now.
I'll say it again.
If Undertaker versus Goldberg ends in a flat no contest, then I win. If it gets changed to a tag match, if it's a double DQ, then I lose.
Okay, if the ring announcer says no contest.
No contest.
All right, I'll allow
I'm
that.
Going no contest.
I'll allow that.
I'm sticking with Undertaker.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'm okay with his
But you're sticking with Undertaker.
I'm sticking with Undertaker for sure.
And that was all the matches, right?
We that's went over it. Them all? That's all the matches.
So Kevin took Kevin Owens.
No,
right.
He took Matt Riddle.
That's right.
So Kevin took Matty Riddle. And he took Orton.
That's the only difference. In the,
right, and
in the
I matches. Took Baron Corbin in a no contest, and you guys are the same across the board.
No, I took Shane.
Oh, and Dickhead took Shane.
I'm telling you, we all thought The Miz was going to win at Mania, remember? We
Not
all thought
me. The Miz I took Shane, so.
I thought The Miz was
The Miz card, yes.
Won a match against Shane?
Here's your pen.
Nope.
He hasn't, right?
Nope. That's why I'm saying, dude.
Hmm.
Shane has looked great in everything he's done, and he's won every match.
All right.
Do you think he's going to get the belt at some point?
My God, I hope not.
Do you think Braun Strowman is going to defend his Saudi Arabia belt?
I didn't think about it. His mustard.
No, his lime green.
His the royal, yeah, the greatest must, Royal
yeah.
Rumble.
Yeah.
That now he's having arm wrestling contests on Raw. Great. Good job, WWE booking. This is why I watch MLW.
Oh, you want to talk MLW?
We could talk MLW. Do you want to talk? Did you listen to the Ambrose thing with Jericho?
Yeah. Yes.
Thoughts?
I don't think he said it. Oh, you're not talking about the very last thing that he said. That he said that one of the producers wanted him to say a line where, like, he was going to kill Seth and God was going to kill Roman?
Rollins, yes. Roman, yes.
I didn't hear that part of that.
He didn't say it, but it came out.
Well, Jericho also said it's a complete lie, that's not what was said, and nobody's saying what was actually said to begin with. So, I don't know.
Okay, but I don't think that's the biggest takeaway from the whole thing.
Oh, no, of course. Everything else was. I thought that's what you were talking about, though. Like
no.
The big, beefy quote. thing.
No, I wasn't looking for no big beefy quote.
Big beefy, beefy quote.
I was talking about the interview in general. Was there anything interesting that you found out? I mean,
no, it's,
are you
it's
really
stuff
surprised
that we all
to hear
anyway.
That? Yeah.
I'm surprised at how many times he had to go to Vince.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
But
yeah,
like,
it doesn't.
It was just like, it was. It seemed like it was every week.
When you look at Vince McMahon now, right? Like when he comes out for Raw, he looks like a fucking old dude because he's a fucking old dude.
And he's very slow when he speaks.
He's been screwing up.
He screws up
some of his promos.
Like, look, man, I don't want like any harm done to anyone, but
right.
It's catching up. Everything catches up to you. And, you know, you hear all those stories like Vince doesn't, he sleeps for 4 hours. He works out. He eats right. Like, you do all that shit, but you can't escape age, bro.
Right. And it was weird how every time like Dean Ambrose would tell Jericho, like the story, Jericho's like, yeah, it's like, that's why I signed with AEW. Jericho said at one point he would never wrestle for another American company if it wasn't WWE. And then he realized that if he would go back there, he knew what he was going to get. Probably have a Kevin Owens feud again. He'd be like, nothing creative would happen for him. And Dean Ambrose, they both agreed on that. Like Ambrose said, dude, this promo makes no sense. You're writing this promo for me. It makes absolutely no sense. Dean Ambrose would not ride a tricycle like backwards down a fucking street.
No, he wouldn't pull a fucking, what'd he pull, a fucking radio flyer wagon? Like, fuck, what are you doing?
My favorite part of the whole interview was when he said Roman Reigns came up to him and Seth and asked him how he can make Suffering Succotash sound cool.
I didn't hear that part. That was part of it?
Yeah. When he came up to him with the fucking script.
Fucking losers.
I listened to the whole episode. I didn't hear that part.
It was on there.
Yeah. It was on there.
It's a very interesting time for pro wrestling. It all fell in line. And he was smart. He just fucking wrote out his contract.
And Tyler Breeze even said, like somebody asked, I guess he didn't ask me anything on Twitter. And first of all, they asked him, like whose idea was it for you to go to NXT? And he's like, it was mine. Because I guess he figures, might as well be doing something than doing nothing. And then on top of that, they asked him about Dean Ambrose. He said, look, everybody gets burnt out. He needed a change of pace. He's like, right now, I'm here, I'm working, I'm happy.
Did either of you... Because I thought about this going back to NXT. Do you think that we were going to see maybe a Fandango appearance in that match?
No.
That's
is he still hurt or is he back?
He's on the mend. He's definitely. Really. I think he's back. No, he's not back, but I think he's healthy.
They really fucked him over too. Fandango. Sure. He turned into such a big star, and then they just shit the bed
with
him.
That's just
again.
Another example of something being organic that the fans want and them. Putting their hands all over
and
it.
And he went full circle because when he was first introduced, his debut was at Mania against Jericho, and he completely shit the bed on that one. And then the whole fucking whole thing took off. He was cutting fucking interviews everywhere.
Then they had
he was on Opie and Anthony and Howard Stern the same day.
Then they had to give it a name. They had to call it Fandangoing.
Ugh, of course they did. So, Breezango could have been the worst abomination ever, though.
Did you see the Being the Elite? The last two episodes, Moxley did something with Janela, and he did something with the Young Bucks.
I did see that. I did see the Janela one.
Both times, one take.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And
one take.
Yeah.
It's the freedom that he's looking for. It's the freedom that every wrestler should have. Yep. I understand like why you have writers, right? There's always been writers. But to actually like have to write out a promo, that seems so ridiculous.
It is.
You think Dusty Rhodes was writing out his fucking promos?
Hard time, Daddy.
No one was.
Jake wasn't right. No one of these
Austin
guys.
Wasn't. Rock wasn't.
It was like, these are your bullet points.
Yeah, exactly. Just need to talk about this and go for it.
It's fun. And it shows when you listen to the Dean Ambrose, John Moxley interview with Jericho, and then you watch the WWE product. And I know you mentioned the things that I liked about Raw. Like, you can clearly tell they have. Can they do a fucking women's feud for a main title without fucking Charlotte Flair?
Nope.
She is shoehorned into fucking everything.
Rainey, God damn it.
I still love Lacey Evans, by the way.
Nope.
I'm throwing that out there. I think her promos are fantastic. Hey. Even as scripted as they may be, I think they're great.
I hate her.
It's just a lot. You know, I've been fucking living it up on Twitter, at Wizards Podcast. Follow us. I've been talking. Me and Dave Sturcio and some other fan had a really great conversation yesterday. Like, look. I'm not going to try and change anybody's mind. If you feel a certain way about something, you love the WWE product, God bless you. We all love the WWE. That's why we're doing this fucking podcast.
That's right.
But man, it is just not for me. I was super more excited to watch MLW last night than I was to watch Raw. I watched Raw an hour and a half today on Hulu again.
You know what? You are absolutely right. Like, I didn't even, I told Kevin, I didn't even get through Raw, but I was looking forward to checking out Fury Road.
Fury Road was awesome. Tony thought it was like a pay-per-view special. It was like 3 hours long.
That's what I thought. I didn't know they were splitting it all up.
I'm not going to lie, Matt. I thought it was too.
See?
Fair enough.
But
fair
look,
enough.
We're just, look, I know I'm an MLW expert.
That's right.
But I still got to get into the planning, like how they figure everything out. Because let's be honest, they're not WWE, but they're getting there. They're building up every single week. It's getting more and more entertaining.
No, it's a great. We've been on this MLW train for the last month and a half now.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, but it's going to take some time to catch up on things.
Yeah,
and to get there. And
the Hart Foundation will eventually decide what they want to do.
Yeah.
The Contra unit will fucking fall off a cliff somewhere.
No, please.
And we'll get
please.
Mance Warner for an hour every
week. You're going to quote yourself.
What?
Please tell us how you really feel about the Contra unit.
Uh-oh.
I hate them. I hate their fucking guts.
What
it's
was your
stupid.
Tweet, your text today that I put into a tweet?
Wait. Oh, wait. You put my text in a tweet?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you got to tell me when you do this, bro. I got to get
I
ready
tagged
for the...
you in it, dicko.
I don't use Twitter all that much.
Oh, I thought you would have got the notification.
We don't follow him.
Notifications? What's that? I don't get that shit.
All right. Well, what'd you say? Contra unit can suck a dick?
You put that on Twitter?
Why not?
Why would you put our private conversations on Twitter? That's horrible.
What? They're a heel faction. Clearly, they're getting over with you.
Maybe they don't like to suck dick. I don't know, dude.
All right. Well, maybe they need to.
What? Really?
What? They fucking cut Tom Lawler's hair, man.
Yeah, that's a bunch of...
Well, who does that?
Dog shit. It really is. I fucking hate them.
That's fucking rude as shit. Did he
you
ask
know
for a haircut? No.
Not
they
for...
jumped him. They stalked him in the parking lot like a bunch of savage animals. They threw him in the back of his van.
Duct
and
tape.
They fucking cut his hair. Come
and where
on.
Where was AC Baby and Barrington Corbin? They don't help this
right.
guy out.
Where were the Von Erichs?
Yeah, where are they? Oh, you know what? Uh-oh. They're afraid to walk in the hot parking lot because they're fucking barefoot all the time.
You know what, though? If you're walking
idiots.
Around barefoot all the time, a little hot concrete, a little hot parking lot, a little gravel under their feet shouldn't
no.
be bothering you.
Have you ever seen videos of idiots running barefoot across hot tar? You get third-degree burns on your feet, dude. It's not pleasant.
Is that worse than the hot coals?
Oh, yeah. Because the hot coals, like, you could plan it and walk it through. Hot tar is hot tar, dude. It's bad
Why would
shit.
Anyone do that?
Because people are fucking dumb, and I get entertained by it, so they're going to keep on doing it.
Clearly. Well, Hammerstone's calling us in 10 minutes, so I'd like to talk a little MLW, if that's okay with you guys.
No, that's fine.
I'm
Let's
all in.
It.
We're already on this MLW train.
All right, yeah, sure. What do you got? You want to talk first match?
So Fury Road from
yes.
Milwaukee. I like how the venues change.
Yeah.
You know?
It reminded me of the venue that they used to use in ECW in Pittsburgh with like that kind of
Oh,
like
the
dome
Golden
ceiling.
Dome.
Yes.
All right.
Reminded me of that. I had a cool look.
Was there not music though? Entrance music? To me, when I watched it today, the latest episode of Fusion, which was basically
Fury Road. Yeah.
It seemed like I couldn't hear entrance
there
music.
There was music, but there was definitely something up with the tech. They were,
yeah,
like,
well,
things were a little off.
They were
on
talking
things.
Throughout the show about storms in the area and they were having
yeah.
audio problems and stuff like that.
Okay.
So maybe that really factored into it. I mean, after the storms we had last week, I really
yeah,
I
no,
can't
absolutely,
argue it.
Here's
the funny thing. There were storms in the area, but when fucking what's-his-name was walking through the parking lot and he got jumped, the sky was as clear as a fucking bell. So I don't know. Maybe a little TV magic, but unless the storms had already rolled through at that point.
Maybe they were scattered and severed.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Severed. So this Myron Reed.
Fucking Mr. G sitting over here on the
You know it.
Fucking, he was all over it last week.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, I know. We were fucking deep into, it was like fucking Twister for driving around with Kevin last week.
That's right.
I was looking for fucking Bill Paxton in my backseat.
I was going to take shelter
rest in peace.
In the Walgreens.
Oh, rest in peace.
What, he's dead.
I know. I forgot he was dead.
All right.
John Paxton.
All right. Okay, terrific.
Great, grand, wonderful. Everybody on the bus.
I like this Myron Reed character.
He's a dick.
No, the fucking referees are discriminating against him.
Oh,
a, because he's a black man.
Don't fall for that
and
shit.
B, just because he has to adjust his fucking ding-dong. The referee always thinks he's going for something in his tights.
He had something in his tights, well, you mook.
Yeah, but maybe he wasn't going for it at that exact moment.
No, he was going for it. Just the referee kept calling him out on it. That's why he couldn't cheat to win. Well,
then he's a terrible heel. I don't
he's
know what
fucking,
to tell you.
That's why he lost.
Yeah, he did lose to
Gringo Loco.
And then he got pissed off and he knocked Gringo Loco out. He knocked him Gringo Loco. Nothing? Holy shit, you guys suck.
Wow.
No backup, right?
That nope.
No fucking Diana Ross without the Supremes over
to
here.
To the Wolves you go.
Holy shit. Herman Melville without the Oof, Blue Notes.
God.
Fuck.
Ooh, that's a good, that was a great reference.
Eminem without the peanut M&Ms. What?
All right, you're just...
I know, I'm going to keep going until you fucking give me a reaction. Right, good or bad.
So Myron Reed gets to win. He knocks out the Gringo Loco.
No, he lost. He and lost. Then he knocked Jeez. Him out. Holy shit.
Sorry. I'm very excited
about
Matt,
you're sitting next to an MLW expert here.
I know. Jesus. I know. What's going on?
It makes me nervous because he's like the expert.
I am the expert.
Very intimidating.
And I have to sit next to him. I have to make sure I get my shit straight because I did watch MLW last night.
Of course you did. That's why you knew Myron Reed lost.
No, he lost. Yes. And then he... you motherfucker.
You motherfucker, you.
All right. Next up was the National Openweight Championship Finals.
Yes.
With Hammerstone and Brian Pillman Jr., a.k.a. Superstar Billy Graham Karate Fighter.
Fresh mullet.
Bro, that hair looks awful.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I mean, God bless him.
It was the same thing at AEW.
Yeah, but I think in AEW was the Battle Royale, so you saw it, but it wasn't like your main focal point the whole time. Why did you play that?
Because you were stuttering. I wanted to have somebody yelling at you.
Okay.
Ew, you're boogering, too.
Oh, yeah.
You're just a fucking pocket of grossness tonight.
I'm the man. But fucking Hammerstone doesn't come out.
But fucking the man.
But fucking the man.
Just so you know, too, my heat on Twitter with...
That's it. Keep on plowing
through.
With
Dynasty,
okay.
Right? Don't call them the Dynasty, because that's where it came from. They're not the Dynasty. They're just Dynasty.
Right.
Like the show.
Right. But then I said, well, the Dynasty sounds like a soap opera, and then that's where everyone
no,
got
No, Dynasty
my dick.
Is a soap opera, and that's the name of their group.
Right. Yeah. Dynasty, bro. So it's hard to, but it's hard not to say the Dynasty.
No, it's not. Just don't say the.
No, it's kind of tough.
Who's the greatest faction ever?
You don't say.
The Four Horsemen. You don't say Four Horsemen. The Four Horsemen.
Because their name is The Four Horsemen.
Sure, but it just sounds better when you. What?
But
what
NWO, NWO was NWO, but you called it the NWO.
No, because you said you were NWO for life.
Yeah, but then you said what happened on Nitro last night. The NWO interfered in every match and it fucking sucked.
Oh, did the Hulkamania run wild, or did Hulkamania?
No, asshole.
That's not
because the Hulkamania is one person.
No, it's not, brother. It's millions of Hulkamaniacs around the world, dude.
Run wild.
You know what?
Your
I don't
face.
Understand why the Avalanche. The Avalanche makes his debut when he gets a title shot. He should have to do something. Well, Hogan debuted.
He's not
he got
the Avalanche. He was Avalanche. There you go. You're welcome. It was Dungeon of Doom, wasn't it?
All right. So fucking Hammerstone. He comes.
When
out,
you start a sentence, you start it with a fucking.
Right, who cares?
Sentence
Let's go.
Starter.
Grammar.
Yeah.
Alex Hockey Sticks is going to be calling. We
Hammerstone comes out.
Oh, my God.
He looks
so
like a million
disrespect.
Bucks. I like how the referee takes his jacket off. He's
jacket
so
off. Jacket off.
Right? The referee, jacket off. Jacket off. He beats the Pillman Jr.
Take that twisted tea away from him.
It's an Angry Orchard.
Whatever.
He beats the Pillman Jr. in his feathered wolf hair.
Did you like the finish?
I did enjoy the finish.
It was a little
came
off.
Came out of nowhere.
It was a little off, but I do like that he pulled the referee to help himself get out of the way. That was cool.
Yeah, smart. That you got to cool. be smart.
And
you
that finisher is. That's
why they are
finisher.
Dynasty.
There you go. Kevin.
There you go.
I'm learning.
I'm fucking.
Oh, I'm learning.
I'm gonna. I know he's in Arizona, so I could talk some shit to him if I need
in
to.
Your face.
What?
Hammerstone.
Is he a Diamondbacks guy?
I don't know. No, I meant like just in general. I know he can't reach through the phone and strangle the shit out of me.
Oh,
so
gotcha,
this might
gotcha,
be my new Bobby Lashley.
No.
Why would you mess with the Hammerstone, dude?
I don't know, man. They fucking pick it on me on Twitter because I said the Dynasty. The dickhead MJF. Then
well,
the most marketable, he got in on it.
See, that upset me because I thought he was our friend.
Yeah, but he takes Dynasty trumps Wizards.
What?
That's fair.
Don't ever fall for that shit. We've been around. We've been doing this a lot longer.
Nobody's falling for it.
We've been doing this a lot longer than all three of those guys.
Your main event.
Yes.
All right. Davey Boy. No, not Davey.
Jesus.
Teddy Hart.
Jesus.
Oh, and I got to tell Hammerstone that my mother-in-law said he was way too orange.
Oof.
Because she watched the show with me. She was in the chair.
You watched. You watched Fury Road with your mother-in-law.
She was sitting there. She wasn't going anywhere.
Oh my God!
And she also said Teddy Hart dresses like a girl. So,
well, I mean,
I should have fucking had my recorded it. At, you know, put the gimmick out.
Spade
Why don't you do that?
I was just trying to fucking relax, man.
You've got a fucking pile of gold sitting next to you watching Fury Road, and you don't think
I wouldn't
record
go that
it.
Far.
Come on, dude.
I call her a lot of things, but not a pile of gold.
Well, don't fucking push her down the stairs anymore. Maybe
I didn't push anyone down the stairs.
Fucking liar.
All right. So, Teddy Hart against Jimmy Havoc. Pretty much the complete opposites. I don't think they meshed well together. I thought it was a little bit of a weird match until Teddy started bleeding. I just felt like they weren't simpatico.
They weren't. And Teddy dominated way too much early in the match. Jimmy Havoc, he seemed timid. For a guy that does death matches and he's supposed to be a fucking animal and like a fucking freak, he just seemed like he was very hesitant with a lot of shit, too.
He might have the worst hair in professional wrestling, too.
Well, he's British, so what do you expect?
It's bad, bro. It looks super bad. I'm not a big fan of his hair.
I don't know. And it's really funny listening to Jim Cornette like shit on the guy, knowing full well that he absolutely hates Jimmy Havoc. That's another fucking like weird guy. That's another thing. Like half the people Jim Cornette has shit on, he actually has to call their matches now, which is really fucking awkward.
Can I go back to the Dynasty? Not the Dynasty.
Oh, Kevin!
Hammerstone, when MJF took the mic from Cornette or the other guy, and dropped that line about Pillman. If he was alive, he would be ashamed.
Yes.
Oofah.
Heat magnet, baby.
Yeah. That is a heat magnet right there.
But he gets away with it. Because, like, Cornette did a whole episode on Double or Nothing. And he said the one thing that he absolutely loves is MJF. Because he's a shit heel and he's small enough to get away with it. And that's why he can get away with it and fucking do what he does and say what he says.
See, that's the thing. I've never heard anyone else bring up his size because he's not a big guy. But he's just so... And that's why, because he's a shit heel.
Yeah.
And he can get away, like you said, he can get away with it.
Absolutely. He can get away with anything on the microphone. So, and he's good at it. He's fucking... He's talented
as shit. A savage promo.
He's great. And just before Hammerstone calls, I just want to wrap a bow on this MLW. Davey Boy, why do I fucking want to say that? Teddy Hart retains his middleweight championship, whatever. And then there's a melee with a Dynasty. Fucking Brian Pillman with those fucking kicks.
Oh, the kicks in the melee were awful.
Buddy, I hope you are the most successful professional wrestler in the world. The kicks were bad, man.
Yeah, don't be afraid to lay them kicks in. Don't be like dangling your ankle out there.
And I'm
going to
ask the Hammerstone about that because the Pillman kicks were atrocious.
You know what was really funny? I don't know if you caught it. It all broke down with the six of them fighting, and Jimmy Havoc was just standing there with a chair like he wanted to hit someone but didn't. And then he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and walked off. Like nobody gave him the cue. Like, okay, when these guys go at it, fucking powder and just leave, you know?
Yeah, smart man. Why get involved in other people's
affairs? No, but he was standing there looking for action. I was kind of like, well, hit somebody or do something if you want to do something, you know?
Look, it's better to be prepared than be unprepared.
I get it.
So if somebody came at him, he could have waffled them, but they were tied up in their own shit.
It was just a very weird main event.
Who's doing that intro?
You can if you want.
All right. Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is the first national openweight. No?
Yes, national openweight champion.
All right, wow. I'm a mess tonight. Leave me alone. Jeez, he's the first ever MLW national openweight champion from Dynasty. Alexander Hammerstone joins us tonight. Mr. Woo! Hammerstone, how are you?
I like that round of applause. Much appreciated. I'm doing good.
Now, let me ask you, this whole Dynasty thing, because you guys are picking on me on Twitter. Is it hard? It's hard for me to just say Dynasty when I'm talking about you like Alex Hammerstone from the Dynasty, but you guys are busting my balls, and MJF is picking on me, Richard Holiday's picking on me. What's going on here? Are you guys fucking bullies, or what's the story, man?
Whoa. Don't toss around words like bully lightly. I mean, bro, it's the Dynasty, bro. Come on.
You just said the Dynasty.
I don't understand what's going on here. What's the loss of communication that's not getting through to me? Am I like not understanding?
All right. So MJF, because I hashtagged the Dynasty, and MJF said Dynasty, bro. So you guys are Dynasty. You're not the Dynasty. You're just...
No. He's not correcting you and saying that it's just Dynasty. He's saying it's Dynasty, comma, bro.
Yeah, I think
That's the important part you're missing.
So MJF was just reinforcing that you are... Like, he was being emphatic about being the Dynasty, correct?
No. Let me explain.
We're all off here.
You missed it.
That's Dynasty. Or the Dynasty, but whichever it is, it's Dynasty, bro.
Oh, I got it. Yep. I got it now.
Right over my head. All right, so we're good then. So how does it feel to be the first ever MLW National Openweight Champion?
Well, I got to say, it feels pretty damn good. My phone hasn't stopped buzzing for like 72 hours, but other than that, I got no complaints.
So let me ask you this, just to piggyback on Matt's question. You guys threw out the word dynasty. It's your destiny, or it's not your destiny. It's dynasty. Now you are starting a legacy as a first ever holder of this championship belt. How does that resonate with you? How does that make you feel knowing that you will be the first? Your name is in the books forever.
Well, that's a pretty good feeling. And, you know, the first thing that people start doing is saying, oh, this is a stepping stone for you, or, oh, this is that, or, man, now we got to get a title versus title for you and Tom Lawler, or now you're going to move on to the heavyweight championship. And I'm like, first of all, sure, I could go out to the heavyweight championship, but my whole mindset right now is like, all right, guys, calm down, because watch, like, in 6 months from now, the openweight title is going to be the title to watch, you know? I'm going to make this the premier championship. That's my responsibility. I'm the first person to have it. So the legacy starts with me. The perception of the title starts with me. And I'm going to be very quick and very adamant about making sure that this is the centerpiece of the show. And that pretty soon people are going to say, hey, Tom Lawler, why don't you go after Hammerstone's Openweight Championship and not vice versa?
Absolutely. And you kind of triggered something in my head right there. It kind of is a throwback to when, you know, the ECW television championship was just as, if not more, respected than the ECW World Heavyweight Championship. And you already have your name attached to this belt. To me, already has that feel where it's equal to, if not, you know, more important than the World Championship. No disrespect to that championship. But how does that make you feel knowing that what you guys have done collectively and yourself individually can mean for this championship belt?
I mean, I could say that feels pretty good, but that's like you telling me that the sky is blue or water is wet. It's just the way it is. Like, I knew when I came to this company what I was going to do. Richard Holiday knew what he was going to do. MJF knew what he was going to do. When you put the three of us together, it's pretty obvious that, you know, something big was going to happen. It's like, I came here from the get-go, like, working towards a specific goal, a very specific goal. I didn't come here to say, hi, Mom, look, I'm on TV. Make sure you turn in and watch. You know, so it's just as expected. You know, I, like, name a more legitimate guy in the company than me. Like, any marks can go and say, well, I like this guy or I like that guy. But, you know, you can like what you like. But at the end of the day, like, you got to be realistic and look at who's the best, who's firing on all cylinders. And, yeah, that guy, there's not a lot of people that you could say give me a run for the money. So I'm going to make this title very legitimate. It's going to be the centerpiece, and there's not going to be a lot of arguing room for that.
Talk a little bit about the chemistry that the three of you guys have, Richard Holiday and MJF. Did that take a while to click? Did you know it was going to be gold right away? Was there any sort of feeling out process with that?
I did not know it was going to be gold right away. I felt a little bit uneasy about it because I am kind of a glory hog. I do want to be the centerpiece, the spotlight. I do want all those things. And to hear, like, okay, I'm with this group now, you know, it's a little bit, you know, okay, how's this going to go? But it has been probably the most fun I've had in wrestling, maybe in my entire career. But the thing is, like, you know, you could say the Dynasty are three guys who are all this or that, but every one of us brings something different to the table. We're all a different type of person, but we got enough in common to make it work. And, you know, from the very get-go there, it was good, but every time we're out and together, it's just that much better. I really, really can't wait for, like, this whole next month of television to start airing, because the Dynasty, whether it's our matches or just catching us backstage and some promo videos, I guarantee we're going to be one of the most talked about parts of the show, just for pure entertainment.
Well, if you guys already weren't one of the most talked about parts on the show, you definitely are now, especially with that gold around your waist. I got to ask you about your finisher. The Nightmare Pendulum is unbelievable. It looks awesome. It looks like it really, really puts people to sleep. Where'd you come up with that?
It's a
slightly adopted from a move that was used in Japanese wrestling. I put a little bit of my own twist with the way I finished it, but I kind of had the idea in my head, you know, at one time or another. And then one of these times, you know, watching matches on YouTube and watching some Japanese wrestling like highlights, I thought, that's what I was thinking. Or that's pretty close to what I was thinking. You know, I think the guy came down to his knees when he did it. So, in my opinion, it was not quite as cool. And pretty much then, first time I ever used it, I didn't even intend for it to be a finish. But I hit it, and the reaction I got from the crowd was just insane. It's almost the same thing every time. There's like a pop that you get from the wrestling fans, but it's almost like a gasp. It's a mix of that same reaction where it's like, wow, that was a cool move, versus, oh my God, is that guy hurt? Yet a little bit of both. And once I heard that reaction, I came to the back and everyone said the same thing. They said, you know, that move 10 times cooler than your finish. And from then on, it just became a thing. And I was a little bit hesitant to use it for a while just because it is a difficult move to pull off. And I do wrestle a lot of big guys. But then again, you know, I'm probably the fucking strongest guy in MLW. So I just have to hit the weights a little bit harder and I'll hit that move on anybody. So now it's my full-time finish and you'll expect to see it anytime I'm in the ring.
Kind of a personal question for those not familiar with what you did leading up to Fury Road. How much coin did you have to shell out for that gym just for yourself?
Okay, well, here, I will say this. I'm not going to say MLW officials lied, but maybe bet the truth because, you know, one of the things was I rented out a gym on my own dime, and I'm not going to say I didn't rent out a gym, but I'm going to say Maxwell Jacob Friedman has a little bit more money in his bank account than me. He's a good friend of mine, and he might have helped out. So I'm not sure the exact number, but all I know is I got some pretty wealthy friends in Holiday and Friedman, and they helped cover a lot of that cost.
Do you worry about those two jackals now that you have the championship around your waist? I know you guys are a cohesive unit. I don't trust MJF.
I'd appreciate if you refrain from calling my two best friends jackals, but I don't know what to worry about, you know, because. You know, I don't think Gold's making them jealous. They have, you know, the Hart Foundation still has some tag team titles, and I see no reason why Holiday and MJF can't go take those anytime they want.
Yeah, it seems like a never-ending story, Dynasty against the Hart Foundation, and we saw it come to a head at Fury Road after Teddy Hart successfully defended his championship against Jimmy Havoc. How do you feel about the Hart Foundation? Maybe take yourself out of the situation. I know you hate them, but what's it like being involved, knowing, you know, the lineage, the Teddy Hart, the Davey Boy Smith Jr., and to a certain extent, Brian Pillman Jr., because I hate his hair. I think he has the worst hair in wrestling, Brian Pillman Jr.
The premise of that question was so bastardized before it got out of your mouth. It was, how do you feel about them, but by taking yourself maybe personally out of the equation? Well, that's kind of not impossible to answer. I'll tell you this. I don't really care about anybody in wrestling with a last name anymore, because the thing is, like, I've been around for close to 10 years now, and the amount of guys I've seen handed stuff because of a last name, and they squander it, or they get, or they're, you know, 2 years later, and they're not even wrestling, and they got, you know, bored with it, or this or that, the list goes on. So when you got guys like that, like, the thing is, Teddy Hart actually has put in the work. Davey Boy Smith actually has put in the work. Brian Pillman Jr., he started to, but he's far from earning my respect. And the thing is, I'm not going to let that be an intimidation factor. I'm not going to say that garners my respect all of a sudden out of nowhere. Like, yeah, the thing is, those three guys can go in the ring, and I think that's obvious. Or else we wouldn't still be involved with them. We would have smashed them a long time ago. But for how great they are, we are just that much better. And I'm going to steal the line from MJF when he says, talent over tenure. And that's what the whole Dynasty versus Hart Foundation feud has been.
Is this, because I think it is, has this been one of the best programs in professional wrestling, in your opinion, in a while?
I think it's the best thing happening today. And, like,
I say that as a cocky person, but I also say that, like, trying to remove myself from the situation and trying to look at things logically. But what other program has given you 6 months, nearly 6 months of television with the same, you know, the same people involved without getting stale, without getting boring, without overdoing anything, keeping it fresh, constantly, you know, giving you laughs, but giving you serious moments, giving you, you know, epic, epic matchups, you know, it's like MLW and has been knocking it out of the park with this. And so to say it's one of the best things, like it definitely is. And it just goes to show, anytime I always see the same thing. People say, oh, I finally gave MLW a chance. It's great. You know, somebody said today that for the second week in a row, even though Raw was 3 hours, MLW had more wrestling in their 1 hour of television than Raw had in their three. And that wasn't like in their opinion, that was a minute by minute, you know, comparison.
Right, and we are 100% on board this MLW train. At least we have been for like the last 3 or 4 months, and we're with you. Let me ask you this though: going back to what makes this feud great, what kind of combination is it? Is it like the experience? I mean, you said you've been here for 10 years. Is it the experience? Is it the collaboration? Is it MLW management? How does this puzzle come together, and how has it worked so well for so long?
Well, you know, the characters have the storyline is almost naturally there. Like I said, with the talent versus tenure, you could look at us as young, obnoxious, maybe arrogant, as that's what we've been called. I wouldn't personally say that about myself. And then you could look at the hearts as, you know, maybe the seasoned veterans and the ones with the legacy behind their names. You know, things like that. You know, obviously Tillman's not a, you know, seasoned vet, but he also does have a legacy to carry. But you got six very different personalities, and all of them go together so well. So it's just going to create a dynamic that there's so much that we've done, and there's still so much that we can do. You know, I'll say this: at any given time, I wish we could, you know, stomp them under our boot and move on to the next thing, whatever's going to get us more money, more attention, more championship opportunities. But at the same time, if we're having matches with the Hearts against, you know, till the end of the year, you better believe it's still going to be good television and it's going to be great wrestling matches.
There's one group right now that's running around that has me pretty pissed off, and that's Contra. Have you guys had any sort of association, or are you kind of just trying to stay out of their way at this point?
Contra doesn't even hang out in the locker room. Those guys, I don't even know what they do. They just show up and do whatever they want, whenever they want. So I don't even know if I've ever even met the members of, well, I've met them outside of MLW, but I don't even think I've ever seen them in the MLW locker rooms. Never, definitely never been across them in an MLW ring. So who knows? That's an interesting topic for maybe for another day. I don't even know. The potential is always there, you know. Luckily, they've taken to terrorizing some other individuals. But if they ever decide to stick their nose in our business, I think they'll find that we're a little bit tougher to bully.
Well, with the championship now around your waist and MJF and Richard Holiday shooting for gold, I mean, you guys have to, at least in the back of your mind, have a thought that Contra and even Selena De La Renta might be gunning for you guys if at one point in the near future all holding the gold.
Yeah, but that sentence that you just said has implications that we're worried about anything whatsoever. I don't care. You can have the entire MLW roster put on their Christmas card to Santa that they want to wrestle the Dynasty or they want to take our gold. It doesn't really matter. You know, you could have every single person there gunning for us. But the thing is, as long and unless you have a 100-on-1 match, I am not scared. You put the whole Contra unit against me, I still think my odds are pretty good. Look at my track record. Look who's pinned me in MLW.
God damn. He's the best.
He's very confident.
I love it.
And I like it. I love Alexander Hammerstone. Out of all three members of the Dynasty, you are my favorite. I do have to ask. I've been on this hair kick. I think Jimmy Havoc and Brian Pillman Jr. have the worst hair in MLW. Man, you had some awesome long hair. I mean, do you miss the long hair? You look like a superhero, dude.
I did. So the thing was, like, I really cut that as a split-second decision. Well, the thing is, like, it was really just everyone just calling me Triple H for so long that I got sick of it.
Oh, man.
What?
I see that.
I got called that too much, and I finally just cut off the locks because a major company was kind of offering me a job that they didn't even give me once I cut my hair. But I digress. But now all the idiot fans call me Jericho anyway. But the thing is, like, I look like my own guy. You can call me Shane Douglas or whoever you want. But at the end of the day, the thing the fans always say is whoever they compare me to, whether it's Douglas or Jericho or Triple H, they would say, he looks like a jacked up version of, and then whoever it is. So you know what? As long as you just keep calling me jacked up, I'll take it.
Yeah, you got them giant, what do they call them, traps?
Yeah, because we don't really do.
If you look, if you saw any of us.
I was at the airport the other day, and I was having, I don't know if anybody really realizes this, but it kept saying I had travel issues at Fury Road. Travel issues. And I'm sure everybody watching at home was like, oh, that's a dumb, weird part of the storyline to put over so much. But it was 100% true. I had two flights to get to Milwaukee. The first one was on time. The second one was delayed 6.5 hours. So the show started at 8, and my plane landed in Milwaukee at 8. I got dressed at the airport. I flew on the plane in my wrestling gear. I left my check bags at the airport when I landed. I got in a car that was waiting for me. As soon as I got to the venue, I had to walk out the curtain because they were playing my music. That's how close it was to me not making the show whatsoever. And that day, when I was at the airport, I was stressing out so bad that when I started doing my hair, it was falling out. Like, I'm not talking like, oh, man, a couple hairs. I'm talking about, like, I have, like, my hair thinned out from that experience. So now you got me worried. You brought up the hair, and you got me all worried again about my hair.
How often does that happen in wrestling where you're seriously nervous about not making one of the biggest shows that you've been on? Like, does that happen often?
I mean, I've definitely had flight delays or travel delays or, you know, a car breaks down and you cut it close, or I've missed shows altogether. But when it comes to major events like this, like to that degree of, like, you know, getting in your wrestling gear at an airport or, you know, that kind of closeness, that's the second time in my entire career that I've had to, like, get out of a car and go to the ring.
Damn.
I thought you said you never got nervous.
I wasn't nervous about the match. I wasn't nervous about getting beat. I was nervous about them giving someone else the opportunity that I had earned.
Yeah Matt.
All right. Relax, everybody jumping down my throat.
You're saying
you got to think when the show's going to go on. It's live television. It was being broadcast across the U.S., over in the U.K., Ireland, etc. So if I wasn't there, you know, there was talks of possibly putting Richard Holiday in that match. There was talks of not doing the match whatsoever. And as much as I love Holiday, that's the shot that I earned. So if someone else was going to potentially win what in my head at the time and what I have proven now that it's all said and done is my title, that's what I was nervous about.
But back to my point. Richard Holiday, Jackal, he would have jumped all over that, and he would have taken your title, bro.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Come on, I'm with you. Let's kick some ass.
You'll be happy to hear that the reason I know that that was on the table was because Holiday himself told me that they asked him, and he said, no, Hammer is going to be here. How good of a friend Richard Holiday is.
Best friend.
I would say Richard Holiday is not only one of the best friends I've ever had. I'll say he's one of the most underrated talents in wrestling right now.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely couldn't agree more. We've had him on the show. Super talented. Got the look. Got the charisma. Same thing with MJF. If you weren't called Dynasty, you'd be called Perfection, to be honest with me. To be honest with you guys. It's that good, in my opinion.
I can't argue with you.
I like that. That was the best question I've ever asked in 8 years.
Wow. We are on the line with the first ever MLW National Openweight Champion, Mr. Alex Hammerstone. You want to follow him on Twitter at
Alex Hammerstone.
He's doing great things. MLW is doing awesome things. And definitely the Dynasty Hart Foundation feud is something, if you're not aware of, go back. It's on YouTube. It's on Fight TV. The tables match they had a couple weeks ago was fucking bonkers. Just watching Mr. Hammerstone here plow through the competition to get to this finals match and destroy Brian Pillman and his feathered wolf hair. It was awesome. Look, next time you see Brian Pillman in the locker room, before you punch him in the face, can you just tell him his hair is stupid?
Contra should have shaved his head.
Right? Can you cut Brian Pillman's hair for him?
When Brian Pillman Jr. sees me in the corner, he goes in the locker room. He goes and hides in the corner. So they have they actually usually go downstairs. We like to call it the heart dungeon. They say, hey, go down to the dungeon since you love it so much and since you talk about it in every promo. So we make them go down to the basement. And that's where they're allowed to change.
They do a lot of high school pranks on you guys, which I know Tony himself, he hates. I don't really appreciate it. I think it's very juvenile. And I guess the only way to get back at them is to beat them in the ring and hold the gold. So now you guys are up like 1-0 against them. You got to take them tag titles, bro. All
right, well, whoa. Let's say we beat them in a tables match. I just beat Pillman. I mean, things are looking pretty good for the Dynasty.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I love it.
You just did the Shining Wizard Wrestling podcast. I mean, you're on top of the world.
I mean, it doesn't. I thought when I won that title that was the highest my career could get. But you guys proved me wrong when I got on this podcast.
Can I ask you something?
This is the new pinnacle.
Can I ask you something right now? And throwing everything out on the table. Before we reached out to you to do this show, have you ever heard of us?
Okay, I'm gonna say it like this. I hear of a lot of podcasts, and, you know, as you guys can, you know, you firsthand know the shoot. I didn't get back to you right away. The thing is, I got hit up by so many podcasts that if I did every single one that asked me to, all I would ever do is be doing podcast interviews. And you got to understand that a lot of these podcasts are not two guys who understand wrestling, who have some legitimate questions and lined up with, you know, feedback that's worth a crap with actual audience that listens. A lot of these guys just buy a microphone and they just want to talk to a wrestler they like. They have nobody that listens to it. I find their Facebook page for their podcast and it has 3 likes and 2 of them are from their parents. So I don't do every podcast. I usually do wait until I ask around and, you know, kind of hear what's the scoop. And luckily for you guys, Holiday gave me the 411. He let me know that you guys are on the up and up. You guys are not complete jerk-off. Little bit of jerk-off, not complete jerk-off.
A little bit.
Well, that's Matt.
So I decided to give you a ring today. Might be a week late, but now I get to talk about the title that I won instead of the title that I'm going to win.
Fair enough. I watched Fury Road with my mother-in-law last night. She said you were very orange. I tried to explain to her. I said, look at the other guy. He's white as a ghost. This guy looks like $1 million. She doesn't get it. She doesn't watch wrestling.
Your mom has no appreciation for a good Hogan tan.
Right? I told her.
That was a Hogan 91 tan.
Right? In a couple of years, it'll look like hot dog skin. You'll be good.
I'm really thinking wrestling is going to kill me long before I get old enough for the tan.
Awesome.
Well, I hope not. Alex,
I
mean,
I do enough in that ring to my body with the tanning, with the everything in between that I don't want to be around at 50 and see the repercussions. I want to live fast, get some title belts, and leave it all in the ring. Hopefully I die taking a Doomsday Canadian Destroyer or something.
Wow, all right. That's pretty serious. Last question before we let you go, because we are about to end our show. You're fucking diesel as fuck. I'm sure you eat right. You do everything right. But when you cheat, right, when it's cheat meal day, what is the fucking Hammerstone smashing? And don't say lady parts, sir, because that would be inappropriate.
I don't lie.
I mean, honestly, I'm based out of Phoenix, Arizona, but Vegas is probably my most common stomping ground. And they have a place out there called Protein House, which I know that's a big disappointment because it's still like health food, but I'll just spend like $60 on like protein pancakes and protein cheeseburgers and
all kinds of stuff like that. I actually almost hate when I get flown into Vegas early, because then, like, I can't resist but go to Protein House. I usually end up spending at least half my wrestling payday on food because I'm an idiot.
Do you think you could eat more than The Rock? Because The Rock eats a shitload on his cheat day. Because, you know, that's what normal people do, that freak.
Who knows? I mean, the thing is, I eat a lot on a normal basis. So I think I can hang with the best of them. Little known fact, I used to have a YouTube channel. Well, I mean, I guess I still do, but I don't keep up any fitness stuff on it like I used to. And I once did a 20,000-calorie cheat day. I only made it to 17.5, but that's still 17,500 calories in one day.
That's insane.
Do you got to feel like shit after you eat that much, no?
Mostly just I felt like I was a garbage human being like for doing that. But only eat so many slices of s'mores ice cream pie before you question what you're doing with your life.
I'd be questioning myself all the way to the bathroom. Oh, God.
I think it was actually the reverse effect. So much went in that it took about 3 days before it started coming out.
Oh, that's got to be painful.
Sounds about right.
Ugh, walking around with a s'mores shit for 3 days?
On that note, that's how you wanted to end the podcast.
I was good just going to say the same thing.
Alex Hammerstone, this has been a pleasure,
this
sir.
Was awesome.
At Alex Hammerstone on Twitter. Follow
and
him.
Instagram.
And Instagram. Jesus Christ. MLW is on
BN Sports.
BN Sports, Saturday night. It's on YouTube, 8 o'clock on Monday nights, and Fight TV. It drops on Tuesdays. Definitely watch what Mr. Hammerstone is doing. As you heard, he's going to elevate the open.
It's already done. It's already been done.
And then Contra's coming after him, and you know what? He don't give a shit. Excuse my language. He's going to fuck somebody up.
Yeah, fuck the Contra.
Tony hates Contra,
dude.
They cut Tom Waller's hair.
I hope you destroy them all.
He didn't even want a haircut. It's a good thing you got a haircut. They would have fucked your hair up.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex.
Anything you want to leave your fans with before we let you go?
I think we just about covered it. I look forward to hopefully getting some new fans, unless Holiday likes me and your subscribers are just your mom and your dad, too. So.
We do a lot of catfishing. We put a lot of fake accounts on our end.
That's right.
All right, guys.
Alex, we'll see you July 25th in New York for MLW. We'll hopefully be at the show. We'll get to meet you in person.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule. The one and only MLW National Open Heavyweight
Champion. Holy shit.
The strongest man in America. He crushed Lou Ferrigno's head like a grape, Alex Hammerstone.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night, brother.
One last sentence before I hang up. Let's do this again when you guys know the name of the title I hold. All right.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Good night, Alex.
Good night, Alex.
What a blast.
Great time,
what
man.
What a blast.
Alex Hammerstone. I'm just sending him a message now.
I know we're gonna be dropping off the butt now anyway, but before we go, I do want to take a few minutes. You want to talk about Bully Ray?
Oh,
please.
You want
to talk about this incident?
Yes, if we have a few extra minutes.
Well, no, we do. I'm dropping off the butt
okay.
now. So if you guys want to hear all the stuff about Bully Ray, just get us in podcast form. Thanks again for tuning in. The Rant is up next. They were off last week, so they're making a return with a vengeance. Check them out. And hit the downloads when it comes out. We'll see you later. And now we're off the butt. And now we're off of that. And now it's bonus time.
All right.
So give us the quick this and that of the story and as quick as you can. And
so
we'll get to the talkings.
Ring of Honor ran a show in the Northwest over the weekend, and there was a situation where a fan who was sitting in like the second row was yelling at the Allure, Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, Mandy Leon.
And depending on who you listen to, there's a spectrum as to what
right.
he actually said
well,
to the ladies.
According to the fan, what he put out on Twitter was that he was going, "Boo, you suck, you're terrible." They had come out for a dark match, then they had come out later in the show, and he had continued to be a fan. At some point, someone had come over and said they wanted to bring him into the back, security, and speak with him. And what ended up happening, long story short, you can find on the internet. I know we're up against the clock. Bully Ray ended up talking to him and just told the dude, like, you got to chill out. Like, nobody told this kid what was going on. They just took him in a room and they left him there, apparently. This is his story. So Bully Ray's like, you got to chill out, you know, just go out there, be a fan, have fun, but pull the reins back a little.
Right. Well, it also came out that it was Delirious was the one that actually came out to ringside and took him to the back,
yes.
Which is even weirder because you figured if there was a real problem, security would have gotten involved and not, you know, one of the head guys from Ring of Honor. But I digress. Keep going.
So this kid goes on Twitter and he says, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I just was being a fan. And everyone, you know, comes. He plays the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look. You, if you've listened to this podcast for the last 8 years, you know I have a fucking big mouth. I have no filter. Yeah. I was an ECW fan. I went to
ECPW in close
I went
trouble.
To ECPW shows where there was like six people in the crowd and you could only hear me and a couple of the other guys. I've been to ECW shows. I've said some pretty heinous shit to people. I don't believe that he said, you're terrible, boo, go home, you suck, and that got someone to come out and say, we need to take you. Something
doesn't add up in this story. In his story,
Bully Ray's story doesn't add up either, because Bully Ray says he didn't know that he had said sexual vulgar things until after he had talked to the fan. But that contradicts his story, saying he went to get him because he was saying sexual vulgar things. So there's a lot of murky water. Somewhere in the middle is the truth.
Now let me ask you this, Matt. What do you mean by, like, what does the story mean? Why they brought him to the back?
They brought him in back. They took him behind the curtain.
Delirious went out to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, "You need to come with us." And instead of having security do it and throwing him out, they took him into the back where the boys are, and they took him to an area, and they just left him there. And that's when he had the encounter with Bully Ray, where Bully Ray told him to just be a fan. Show respect, whatever.
I'm sure Bully Ray wasn't as nice as he says he was. Let's be honest.
But the fact that you brought somebody to the back,
the whole thing is weird.
That doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Why wouldn't you just throw him out?
No, well, I've seen it happen. My cousin got pulled in the back by Gino Caruso, of all people.
We're talking about it. Come on.
I understand. They should have just threw him out. They should have. But this is Bully Ray's fiance, girlfriend, pseudo-wife.
Right, and Mandy Leon is with Delirious.
With Delirious, yeah.
Right.
So the two of them are probably like, we have to protect our women. Not glossing over the fact that Bubba Ray Dudley made his career insulting women.
Being the best heel in ECW, right. Arguably ever.
And at some point during this kid's ranting and yelling at people, it got to a point where Velvet Sky broke character and said he was a virgin and all this stuff.
Is that really breaking character? He probably was.
Right. But, look, my point is, I've said some heinous shit to wrestlers at shows, and I haven't even been looked at. So for this kid to get a reaction, you're not just saying, you could say, boo, you're terrible, 1,000 times.
Well, you did that in the late 90s, early 2000s. But this kid is doing this in 2019.
Sure, which means the heinous shit I was saying is going to get a reaction. If you're just saying, boo, you're terrible, go in the back, you suck... you're programmed to hear that, especially if you're a heel. When you start getting like, I don't know, you calling her the C word. And
well, we don't know what was said.
No.
Our imaginations are vivid enough.
Right. Well, look, I said it on Twitter the other day. There's three sides to every story. Person A, person B, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And
you said that.
I did.
Our truth is somewhere in the middle.
Fucking philosopher over here.
I am a philosopher. That's what I do. It's just very shady. And ROH is looking into it. And Bully Ray said his piece. But again, Bully Ray's statement contradicts his story with him saying he just went and got the fan. And he didn't know about any of these lewd sexual things he said. Well, then why? You're not pulling a fan into the back. For saying, you're terrible.
Yeah, if it was that much of a problem, bye.
Like,
get
we've been to WWE shows where people are like, you suck, go home. Like, no one's hunting down and finding those people.
Well, and that's the thing that other, like, why, if you brought him to the back, why wouldn't you bring him to the back if you're gonna rough him up if you brought him to the back? Like,
yeah,
right?
Well, that's like, sort of, that it's a bullying tactic is what it is. That's all that
But
is.
If I'm a fan and I get pulled to the back and all that happens is Bully Ray talks to me, I'm fucking having a great time.
Well, look, this guy got – you get more. So you got to see if he gets more attention on Twitter because that's the day the society we live in. He gets more attention playing the victim. He's not going to be like, I called Velvet Sky a cunt, right, and Bully Ray brought me in the back. Instead of throwing me out, just said, be a fan. Now, does it factor in that ROH didn't do well in the Northwest, where they did like 3,000 seat venues and like 300 people showed up? So maybe you don't want to. Maybe it's like, let's go talk to him, but don't throw him out because that's even going to look worse for
us. Is one person really going to tip that scale?
I mean, you get one person that gets thrown out. And he goes on a tirade. Like, I mean, he still went on a tirade.
He still went on a tirade. And you can't sue somebody if you're being kind to them.
But he didn't get, yeah, exactly. And he didn't get thrown out.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, Bully Ray's like, go be a fan. And like, so I get why he did it that way. He was trying to be the nice guy. And you're probably right. They were probably looking like, hey, we only got a few hundred fans here. Let's try to keep them and let's keep them happy. And let's not have, you know, a PR nightmare. But and I thought I read somewhere
turned
else
out
too,
that way.
There were people behind him that said that he didn't say that or he did say that.
Both. You're getting both sides of the story. It's hard to keep up because there's all different things. But there's people that say he said shit, and there's people that say he didn't say anything.
No. The wild card is Bully Ray does have a history of being an asshole to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's...
Sure, because he's...
But he's the known asshole. This guy, we don't know him from Adam. Like, he could have been a dick. He could have just been... I really doubt he was
but
just saying
his,
boo.
But in
to
his
the...
dude's thing where he's crying victim, he didn't say Bully Ray was mean to him in the back.
I mean,
I hate
the Allure too, but I don't know how far I would go in insulting them.
Right. You know, maybe a She's Got Herpes chant, but that's good. Some good old ECW fun there.
That's legit ECW chant.
Right.
That's even WWE Attitude Era chant.
Ooh, you think he was chanting stuff like PR stuff, like She Wants Equality?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'd love to...
Or take away that lass's right to vote.
So it's interesting. I'd love to get to, you know, eventually have the truth come out, but too many people jumping to conclusions. Like, this kid put this out and he got all this attention. You got to wait.
Is this story still a thing? Is their investigation
because all
still...
the Allure girls like gave their statements and whatnot, but it's not
to who?
Worth.
To Twitter.
To the Twitterverse.
Twitter, ROH officials are looking into it.
But the police haven't been involved, have they?
No.
It's not a crime. He wasn't assaulted.
I mean, if Bully Ray was, like, I don't, like, wouldn't there have to be then? At some point?
The police to get involved?
What is Ring of Honor going to do to Bully Ray?
Well,
if they find out that he's at fault, they're going to fire him.
That's not a criminal thing, though. Like Ring of Honor investigating is not the police. Like, if there's an HR problem, they don't call the police unless something actually happens
But you know what I'm saying? If nothing illegal was done.
Right, but then shit rolls downhill and it's like. Well,
yeah, like
was,
you don't have
who
to,
was supposed to make sure
no, I get
this
it.
Didn't happen.
Like, you don't have to do anything illegal to get fired from your job. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get it, but it's kind of like, I kind of relate it to sports.
Well,
I'm kind of like, if, say, so-and-so doesn't get charged with this crime, how can he be suspended by his company?
Because it's conduct.
Right.
It's conduct. That's what it is. Like, did Bully Ray handle himself properly? And if it turns out he wasn't an asshole to the kid and he just said, look, knock it off, then it's like, okay, we investigated and we found that he didn't do anything wrong. That's what it is. That's the difference.
All right.
And with that, I think it's time for us to start wrapping up. Do we have any going homes? I got a going home real quick.
All right. Somewhere.
I think I do. Let me make sure I got it. Wow, that's kind of loud.
I like it, though.
I'll start first with going home.
Okay, go ahead.
So recently on ESPN, The Michael Kay Show, our friend, former guest of the show, Peter Rosenberg, responded to why he was no longer with WWE. He was at WrestleMania weekend at the hotel and was told by Michael Cole that he is no longer needed. Again, the timeline might not be the same, but I just want to shout out Peter Rosenberg because he's a great broadcaster on radio and sports radio and hip hop radio. So very weird that Peter Rosenberg is not on the WWE family or under the umbrella anymore, while Sam Roberts, who I love to death, kind of is. And even though he was one that fell under more scrutiny with his Bianca Belair comments and stuff. So do you guys have any take on that? Why Peter Rosenberg's not there anymore? Do you think you just don't think he brought enough to the table or what?
I think he's a fake wrestling fan.
Okay.
And I don't think he brought enough to the table. Jesus Christ. Enough to the table.
Which is funny because this show on the WWE Network was called Bring It to the Table.
Yeah, I just some things work, some things don't. I mean, whatever.
I had more of an email about it, but I guess I lost it. But apparently, this past weekend, May 29th, Ring of Honor's own Jay Lethal got to throw out the first pitch at a Tampa Bay Devil Rays game down in Florida, Trop Field. Well, whatever. I'm not a baseball fan, so I don't know the ins and outs. But good for Jay Lethal. That's a big honor to get to throw out a first pitch for a game. No?
No, I agree. Say so.
All right, Matt, we're going home. Let's wrap it up.
We're going home. Atushi Okoye.
Yes.
He passed away at 41 from a motorcycle accident. He was the All Japan Pro Wrestling World Junior Champion. He won the title May 20th, and he was set to defend the championship against Hiroki Sato on June 18th at Kurikan Hall. Google his shit on YouTube. I watched a match with him and Brian Danielson today. It was excellent. He trained under Jun Akiyama.
Yep.
Jun Akiyama. He's been a junior tag team champion. He won the GHC junior tag team titles twice, once with Marufuji and the other time with Kotaro Suzuki.
Yes.
So rest in peace at Sushi.
Never the open weight championship.
Holy moly.
Guys, I have comedy on Thursday.
Awesome. Oh, yay.
Tell us.
Thursday, Jersey City, New Jersey, Miss Wong's at 7:30. It's a free show. It's in a speakeasy. So, you know, you go into the place and you kind of have to find your way. It's, again, it's a free show, 7:30 to 8:45. So that's in Jersey City. So if you're in the, you know, Hudson County area, Hoboken, Jersey City, Edgewater, all those places, come check me out tomorrow. I'm excited to get back on stage. So
awesome.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you next week. We got a special guest, but we'll announce it on the Twitters and all that. So stay tuned.
All right. Thank you again to Alexander Hammerstone, the MLW National Openweight Champion.
Good call. And good night.
We fucked that up the whole time, huh?
Of course we did.
God, we're professionals. He had a great time.
Say good night, Kevin.
Good night, Matt.